the story of sudden death, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. An awesome movie about karate and hockey, starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. Picture this, it's Game 7. Stanley Cup Finals, the Pittsburgh Penguins versus Chicago Blackhawks. Jean-Claude Van Damme's playing a lowly fire marshal who's there enjoying the game with his family. The vice president's there, also a group of terrorists. And they've raped the Pittsburgh Civic Arena with bombs? Oh no! This is a story of sudden death, start Jean-Claude Van Damme. An awesome movie about karate and fighting, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Jean-Claude Van Damme, the first terrorist he meets is a chick. She's dressed up in a penguin's uniform. He meets her in the kitchen. Big fight sequence. He kicks her into the dishwasher where she drowns and dies and is choked. Better tell security. Turns out the security guard, also a terrorist. So Jean-Claude Van Damme stabs him in the neck. This is a story of sudden death. Start Jean-Claude Van Damme. A pretty awesome movie about terrorists and hockey. So now Jean-Claude Van Damme's running around disabling bombs, and the hockey game is still going on. So he goes and talks to the head of the Secret Service. Turns out he's one of the terrorists. So Jean-Claude Van Damme kills him. Then he mistakenly puts on a Penguins uniform, and they think that he's the goalie. They push him out into the game where he has to play. 2 seconds left. 1 second left. He blocks the shot, sending the game into sudden death. This is the story of sudden death. Starting Jean-Claude Van Damme. A movie about terrorism in hockey, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Then a terrorist falls to the scoreboard, landing on the ice, freaking everybody out. Jean-Claude Van Damme climbs up to the VIP suite, where the vice president is still there with his kids. He has a big fight sequence. He kills some of the terrorists. But then the main terrorist takes his daughter up onto the roof and tries to get her into a helicopter. And that's when Jean-Claude Van Damme kills the pilot, takes his daughter, saves her, kills the terrorist, and the helicopter goes crashing down in through the stadium and lands on the ice. This was the story of sudden death with Jean-Claude Van Damme. A topical story about patriotism, terrorism, and hockey with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Might be for some of the older kids. It's an awesome movie. I didn't make it up. It's loosely based on a true story, but it's also based on a movie.
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Of a dusty mesa, a looming shadow grows, hidden in the branches of the poison creosote. She twines his vines up slowly.
Last week, Japanese scientists placed explosive detonators at the bottom of Lake Loch Ness to blow Nessie out of the water. Secourt Godfrey of the Nessie Alliance summoned the help of Scotland's local wizards to cast a protective spell over the lake and its local residents and all those who seek for the peaceful existence of our underwater ally. This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
Yes! Ho, ho, ho. Hello, everyone! I am Eddie Strom. Hello! It's time for Entertainment Landfill! Woohoo! Welcome, everyone. I am the J-Strom. Welcome to the show. It's time to talk about film, television, pop culture, and other type of things. It's been... about, and no, it's been over a month since we've done a show. Sorry about that delay. It's kind of like, I think the show was released on January 23rd. And, you know, Christmas happened, New Year's happened, my daughter went back to school. And it's like, I've been in a rut, like, I can't get back into the swing, and I'm trying to. I'm like, we've got to do a show, damn it. I can't not do a show again. And so finally we got the show going. Right now it's going. We'll see how it goes. I mean, that last show, if you listen to it, had horrible technical problems. So far, this one, everything's fine, except I've lost Bill twice on Skype before the show even started. So I'm going to wait to call him again. But first, I'm going to introduce Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi, Steven. It's been a while since I've seen you, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's been... a month since I've seen you.
Yes, since we did the show last.
I hope you had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes.
Have you gotten used to writing 2014 yet?
Oh, yeah, it didn't bother me.
I am still writing 2014.
I never liked 13 anyways. 14.
Well, the thing right I'm ahead. Excited about is finally next year, 2015, finally be that year Back to the Future 2. It'll finally be the correct year, and all those Facebook things will be correct. It'll be awesome.
Gotta wear the... all the equipment, the jacket that self-dries.
Yeah, the Nikes, self-lacing Nikes. And the... I would love to have that hair dryer thing. All right, I'm going to call Bill now, and we'll all welcome him with open arms. So I turn to you. Bill! Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. Are you there?
I am here.
Yay, Bill's here. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
It's interesting.
Hey, how's it going, huh?
It's going. That's pretty much what it sounded like earlier.
I figure maybe like all there's icicles on all the wires and stuff.
There probably are. Yeah, there are.
And so you're basically living off of kerosene right now. Kerosene powered radio.
Wow, that's okay.
Or no, whale blubber.
No,
yeah.
He's got his dog there is on the treadmill powering it.
Yeah, be...
If I had a treadmill, maybe I'll teach him to ride the recumbent.
Oh, that'd be sweet. You ever see those old men riding by on the recumbent? You're like, what the hell is that guy doing?
Yeah, I know. It's just lazy.
What makes a guy like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go with the recumbent bike.
You know why they're riding it? Because they just like the flag that sticks up off the back of the bike.
Hey, didn't I? Did y'all see me on one of those?
No. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, L.A.
Oh,
that
really?
Picture I had took.
You big douchebag.
I don't remember that at all. I never saw that.
Oh, yeah. Remember KFC chicken legs guy? That's
no,
when that
was,
happened.
I thought you were in a giant trike thing.
Yeah.
No, but recumbent, you know, the way you're
it's
laying back.
It's not the
back.
One that lays back entirely, but close enough, I guess.
No, I'm talking about the kind where you lay back and your hands are, like, underneath your ass, like...
You got the little kind of green machine steering there.
Yeah, I've seen those. And whenever I see them, I'm like, what the hell is that guy doing? What decision did he make?
He's going for the long distance ride.
But, Bill, it's been a while since I've spoken to you, sir. It's been over a month.
Yeah, we speak in text and on the phone, but not doing a show, not on a live.
Oh, yeah, we did the Lethal Weapon show, so I'm forgetting about that.
Oh, yeah, we did do a Lethal Weapon
show. It's been under a month or something.
Yeah. Yes, something
but
like
I
that.
I was explaining that I've been in a rut since New Year's, and I've been trying to get back into the swing of things, and it's hard. It's like
it is really hard. I kind of had to activate my podcasting strengths while I was today. I just didn't feel like doing a show, and I was like, "Are we doing a show?"
Yeah, I was yesterday. I was like, "Bill, it's been like exactly 1 month since we've put out the last show." And
yeah.
Like, so are you saying you want to do a show? And I'm like, I guess I do.
Maybe.
And, you
possibly.
Know, I today when I had to work on it, I was imagining old Jason. Like, dude, I used to bust my ass. I'd get up first thing in the morning, Emma go to school. I would start in on the intro or whatever. I'd do clips. I would have clips of all these shows, make drops, do the break, do voicemail.
You would do that almost all day Thursday into Friday.
Right. I'd work so hard on that shit. I so don't want to do that.
I don't know who said it last
I had a drive to do it.
Somebody said that they actually liked it better when we didn't have clips. So I was like, hey, I'm all for that. If you know.
Well, it depends. You know, like basically when I watch
adult,
a show.
In adult diapers.
When I watch a show, I'll sometimes say, there's a clip that's entertaining or something funny.
Yeah.
And then I can pull drops from it. But today.
Yeah, we could have never talked about the Dating Cindy show without clips.
Yeah.
What the hell was
things.
That called?
Seducing Cindy.
Seducing Cindy.
I'll never forget it. It's a.
Goddamn, dude.
One of my happiest memories. But today I was like, I don't want to make clips or anything. I don't want to do shit.
No, yeah.
I don't even want to do a goddamn show. I don't want to do anything. That's the rut I'm talking about. I don't want to do goddamn anything, okay?
I've been in a deep rut. Like, I don't even want to play video games, and that's a serious rut, my friend. That's that. If when the video
that
games don't
rut.
Entertain, I blame Rise, Son of Rome, on that, actually. Because I rented
so
that from Gamefly, and that son of a bitch is a slog. Like, I don't even want to turn on my Xbox One because I know I still have to finish it and send it back to Gamefly. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, I'm just going to send it back. I took it out finally. It was like, I'm just sending this son of a bitch back.
Oh, can I – let me switch gears to that for a second. Like, I my wife got me an Xbox One, which honestly, remember when the Xbox One and the PS4 came out? I was like, I'm not going to own either of these for probably over a year. You know,
yes,
I've just got to get used
saying
to
that.
So the fact that I got an Xbox One was extremely awesome, you know. And the first game I bought was Dead Rising 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got Forza 5, which I haven't tried yet because I'm playing Dead Rising 3.
Have you even cracked the cellophane on that one?
On Forza?
yeah.
Let me check.
Check.
Yes, I did actually open it.
Okay.
And I knocked everything down on the shelf while checking. But anyway.
Isn't it funny, though, how the Xbox One games, the disc spindle is on the opposite side now?
Yeah.
It's like, we're totally going to just defy all conventions and put it on the other side to piss people off.
What do you mean is on the other side? Wait, I'm not understanding.
Normally, whenever you open up a disc,
Yeah. When you open it up, it's on the left side instead of the right.
Yeah, normally it's on the right.
Yeah, it's kind of like, wait, there's no disc. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I don't understand that. It's because, no, Xbox 360, those were on the right. This is the new generation.
Yes, to let
on the
you
left.
Know.
So the first thing I did is, you know, Xbox One, if you guys have heard about this, you can actually hook your cable box, your satellite box, into the Xbox One and then go into the TV. And then you could say, Xbox, watch MTV. Or something like that. And sometimes it'll
which
work.
No one actually says.
And sometimes
no one says. No one says,
watch MTV. That's not happening.
Yeah, so I was like, cool, I'm going to try that shit. That sounds pretty cool, right? So
I encouraged you to do it.
Yeah, and it is pretty cool. Like, Emma liked it. Heather, we're all three sitting there like, Xbox, Xbox. I'm like, no, one at a time, Xbox. And we're all yelling it. And I'm like, no, you got to wait. Emma's like, watch Nickelodeon. And I'm like, no, Xbox. You know, we're all like yelling at it. So
it just puts a frown face and shuts down.
And just explodes. But here's the thing that kind of annoys me, or because I have OCD, or at least this would bother anybody, really.
Oh, no, you have OCD.
Okay.
No, I know. I experienced that one firsthand.
The DirecTV box has Dolby Digital 5.1, okay?
Sure.
You have it into your receiver. You got 5.1. When you put the DirecTV into the Xbox, it doesn't pass 5.1. It just does stereo.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Why? If it's passing the video through, why isn't it passing the audio through?
They said that will come in a later update, supposedly.
It's holding the audio hostage.
But meanwhile, that gets on my nerves. I don't like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. It would get on my nerves, too.
So my receiver, basically, if you select 5.1 uncompressed on the Xbox One, it comes out as stereo on your speakers. So I'm like, well, that's annoying as shit. So I changed my receiver to Dolby ProLogic 2.
Oh, yeah. now you're playing with power here.
Yeah, now it's like the virtual 5.1. And so I'm watching, I'm like, okay, this will be fine. And then I'm like, no, it won't. It gets on my nerves. And so I'm searching online, like, how do you circumvent this or whatever? And it says, hey, if you want to enter the beta, go to here and click this, and it's beta 5.1. And it's like, oh, okay, I'll do that. Hey, I hear it from all the speakers now. Okay. And then I read someone say, it's only ProLogic. Don't let it fool you. You're better off using ProLogic 2. And I'm like, well, God damn it. And I'm like, no, I'm going to leave it on that, on beta. We'll do that. So the next day, I wake up in the morning and I turn on the TV, black screen. And I'm like, what the hell? Why don't I see the
DirecTV box? Oh, you have to
turn
the Xbox on.
Well, no, I turn it. They have it. What's cool is they have it where you can say Xbox on. It'll turn on your receiver. It'll turn on your DirecTV box and your TV. You can make it control all that. And it does a pretty good job of that. So you say Xbox on. Everything turns on. DirecTV box is on. Don't see a video feed. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It's really annoying the shit out of me. So I reboot the box. And then the Xbox One, it won't open the TV app anymore after I rebooted it. So I'm like, God damn it, what do I do? So I turn everything back off, turn everything back on, still black screen. So I go online, Google it. My DirecTV isn't working. Someone said, if you have entered the Dolby 5.1 beta, it will affect your DirecTV box. Unclick the beta and then reboot it and then try it. So I did that and it works. And I'm like, this is so annoying.
What a load of horse shit.
So I was like, okay, ProLogic 2, Bill, I'll just live with it, right?
No, you won't.
So,
no, you
I'm,
won't.
This is part of the story. That's what I told myself. Well, then I start to see, have you ever heard of the video term? If you go to AVS forum, it's called banding.
Banding.
That's where, like, something red is on the screen moves. You see black horizontal lines.
Oh, yes.
Lines.
Yeah. Yes.
It's called banding. And I'd never had banding before, so I know it's because the HDMI is into the Xbox One and out into the receiver and then into the TV. And I'd never had that problem before, and I was like, God damn it! I know
Even just hearing this story is giving me tired head.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have got to... If I was you, I would have thrown the Xbox One out the window by now.
So, I'm like, well, shit. You know what? The whole voice feature is neat, I guess. But it's not ready for prime time. I'm
not
unhooking
at all.
So, I unhook it and everything, and... I don't know if I was annoyed when I unhooked it and I was moving cables around. The DirecTV, one of the coaxes, it starts saying on the TV, cannot find signal. And then I like start moving the cable around and then the signal comes back. And I'm like, oh shit, I tweaked something back there. Because all of a sudden the video, the signal doesn't look as good anymore, Bill. So I'm like, God damn it. So I move the entertainment center, which is a pain in the ass. That TV weighs like 500 pounds.
Not the TV, the entertainment center.
The entertainment center too. And so I...
They both weigh 500 pounds equally?
Yeah, it's a ton. A
it's
shit
a ton.
So I take all the coaxes and I kind of straighten them out, kind of organize the cables back there. Probably should have done that a long time ago. Reweave the HDMI cables, push it all back. still looks like shit. What the hell? So, well, eventually, what I figure out is that I've over-tweaked the HDMI cable going into the TV. Like, I must.
What happens when you weave them?
The hell? Not really weave it, but you know what I mean. Just kind of slide it.
Basket
through.
Weave.
I've braided all my cables, Bill. No, so
Vietnamese basket weaver.
So I go to monoprice.com, Bill, which has all about your cabling needs.
It just about has every need.
Yeah, and I got HDMI cables with the ferrite cores, you know, blocks out all that.
Kodo and Poto, the ferrite cores.
So I hook it up, and I'm like, oh, thank God, it looks like back to normal. And I'm like, okay, I'm happy again.
Until? Is there a catch?
No, I'm happy right now. That's what I'll say. Okay. And right
well,
now,
I actually made you new coax cables anyways and put them in the mail today.
Oh, that's so awesome, because I want to redo everything.
There you go.
And I want to get a new power strip and stuff like that.
The upgrading bug has bitten again.
Yeah. And it's just funny, like, all that, like, I should have just hooked the Xbox up to input number 4 on my TV and just ran with that and played games on it like my old Xbox, you know. But instead, I had to hook the thing up to the TV and all that shit. But I'll say, if there's one day an update where they go, hey, now there's 5.1 and the video signal is fine or whatever, I'll go, maybe I'll try it again. Or maybe I should
maybe
just
in a year.
Not touch it. Yeah, maybe in a year I'll try it again. But besides that, I've had fun playing Dead Rising 3, Bill. It's a goofy-ass game.
It's very strange. It's uncomfortable at times.
The sense of humor in this game is all over the place. It's really weird.
You know what? It was made in Vancouver, so I blame the Canadians.
Yeah, here's the one thing that's weird about the game is there are outfits all over the game, like hats and clothes. You can wear, like, hot pants and run around half naked. Why, I don't know. There's that green, like, outfit that Borat had on, Bill.
Yes, I've seen that one.
The mankini. Here's what I'm wearing in the game. Jeans, a leather jacket, sunglasses, and work boots, and I'm not changing my outfit.
I have tennis shorts, a tennis shirt, a porn stash, and a police cap. So I'm like full on village people mode.
See, and I've also got a helmet. See, when I'm playing the game, I'm like, I'm in the game. That's me there. I can't dress like a buffoon. I can't wear like a
I can't help it. I always have to look like a buffoon. I get some strange pleasure out of making the main character look as weird as possible.
And there's some, you can wear the Lego head thing, whatever that
is. I put those on the zombies anytime I find them.
Oh, I need to do that.
Oh, yeah, you just put them on the zombie head and then they just wander around.
You know, it's okay if Emma watches me play it until the cutscenes. I tell her to leave because I have no idea what's going to happen to the cutscenes.
The cutscenes are so vulgar and strange.
Yeah. They really are. Like, check this out. I made a clip of this one mission that happens. You wander into this dude's mansion, and this guy has a mission for you, Steven. And this is where I'm like, Emma, go to your room for a bit. I'll call you when this is over, okay? This, after, when this happens, okay? Just listen to this.
This is going to be hotter than Lena Poleshev's sex tapes. Hey, man, you all right?
You a businessman?
You want in? We're going to make a movie. And we're going to make millions.
Movie, huh? What kind of movie?
Come on. Don't be so naive. Look at all the men walking around, right? Even dead, some of them are hot.
All I need is a few good men.
You know what I mean? It's all about the talent. And I know talent when I see it.
Good men? You mean like for a... Oh.
And he's got it. Blonde, redhead, Asian, Latino. As long as they're dead and they're hot. The wilder, the better. Now go get him, kid. Time is money.
So you leave the zombies back into his house.
Luscious, milky green, lifeless sockets. Oh my God, this is going to be wild.
Then you get your credit, your
points. You wanna, you know, get some action? No. Thanks. I think I'll pass.
Whatever.
And I was gonna give you the zombie fluffer credit as well. Your loss. See you around, buddy.
Like, all right, Emma, you can come back in the room. What the hell was that?
Yeah, I know the first two games were developed in Japan, or maybe it was just the first game, and that was pretty strange. I mean, like, but the next two that were even, and this one's just like absurdly overly sexual, and yeah, it's really weird.
Very bizarre. And there's even worse stuff than that that I've seen in the game that I've encountered.
Yeah, I haven't even made it that far. I got to the point where you have to shut down some sort of relay, and I ran into some weird doctor that's harvesting organs.
Yeah, that's pretty goofy.
Yeah, it's really bizarre.
The weapons and vehicles and stuff you make in the game are a lot of fun.
That's the best part. The best part is the creation and the discovery of the multiple items that you can actually make.
So far, the roller hog is my favorite. It's the steamroller with a motorcycle where you're just going and just running over like all these zombies. That's the most fun. But you can create bigger tank-like vehicles that actually shoot things, and that's kind of fun too. But yeah, it's a goofy-ass game, and I have fun playing it, but it's so bizarre and weird at the same time.
I haven't played any of my PlayStation 4 since I hooked up the Xbox One, so maybe that's a good sign. I don't know. Maybe it's just that all the games for the PlayStation 4 are the same as everything else, so...
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a gorgeous system. Both of them are gorgeous. I mean, you know, they complain about the Xbox One running at 720p, up-res to 1080p, but I really don't see that much difference in quality.
Honestly, it doesn't affect my gameplay. I guess if I was into numbers and stuff, like, I have OCD about certain things that I don't really care about if I can just play the game and enjoy it. I think the graphics are pretty awesome looking, you know, most of the time.
Fun.
Sometimes, you know, when I drive up to a screen, all the zombies are standing still for a second, and then they start moving as I get closer. Like, I can see, like, oh, this is the next gen. Why aren't they moving where I walk right into here, you know?
It should be, like, CGI.
My biggest problem with the Rise Son of Rome is that you fight the same guys over and over again. It's like Double Dragon for the Nintendo or Final Fight for the Super Nintendo. It's the same characters,
like, just over and over.
And it's just monotonous as hell.
Yeah, that's cool. There's so many different zombies. I haven't noticed a lot that look exactly the same, you know?
I haven't really been paying attention. The thing I pay attention to is how I'm killing the zombies.
You know what's funny is when I first started playing, I was afraid of the zombies, and I would like,
so was I. The first time they switched over at night and had the red eyes, I was like, oh shit, get me out of here.
Yeah, now I'm so used to them, I'm like, okay, wait, let me check something. And Emma's like, look out, the zombies! And I go, oh, they'll be fine. I got a few seconds before I can, I have to look up again. They're all like, coming towards me. I'm like, I got a good moment to look down at the map or something like that. But because you build so many cool weapons, you start to just cut through them like butter, and it's fun. My favorite is the boxing gloves with knives on them.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what the hell are those called? Are those the Dragon Punch gloves?
The Dragon Punch is the one with you hook it's like a car battery and boxing gloves.
It's a motorcycle engine and boxing gloves. And that's like you just plow through things. And then the other ones are MMA gloves, and they've got blades on them.
Yeah, and he's like, Hurryuken!
Yes.
And
there's some really sweet weapons in the game that you can make.
My favorite is the power hammer.
Actually collect them after you make them, and you like build up a certain amount of I don't know what it is, experience. You can go to these locations and actually just get them out of your locker.
That's what I've done now, where I'll just go back there and just retrieve them instead of like finding stuff to build them. Like, you get lazy after a while. Now, Bill, what do you say we play some voicemail? We have quite a few. A lot of people sent voicemail today.
Apparently they sent them through email because the phone number is dead now, right?
No, I made a new one.
Oh, okay, good.
We do have a new voicemail number. It's 1206-426-2257.
Well, that's good to know.
Yes. All right, let's check.
No one will call it.
Someone sent this voicemail as the show was starting. I have no idea who sent it. Let's just play it and check it out.
Hey, Nowhere in Mulberry. This is Ross of the Bay Area.
Hey, it's Ross.
Ross's. I'm just calling to tell you guys that I'm happy you're doing a show. It's been a long time since I left the voicemail, so I figured I'd call in and tell you that my opinion of you hasn't really changed much. I still like your show and like what you're doing. Love it, in fact. Love is probably a better word to use. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm just sitting here leaving you a voicemail. My kids are over by the front door. They have their shoes and jackets on waiting to go to McDonald's to get a Happy Meal because I'm that kind of parent. I know. Judge me. That's fine. I don't care. but I just figured I would leave you guys a voicemail instead of making them happy. And there you go. That's what you guys mean to me. I love you more than I love my own kids.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's dedication.
Let the judgments flow. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Hope you have a great show tonight. Thank you for doing another show. I think you guys should do a show every day. That's what I want. Two shows a day, one show just for me. All right, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
And he's got it.
yeah, thanks, Ross. We will do that if you pay us to do it. We'll
absolutely
totally do it. It's like we have a new job. We make shows for Ross.
Just take us to McDonald's.
Yeah, give us some McDonald's. We got McDonald's.
Some Happy Meals.
I'm loving it.
I want my what is? I've never actually had one of those, but what is the fish thing? The fish fillet? The
fillet of fish.
Fillet o' fish. Yeah, I want fillet o' fish.
They can be, you know what? Just like any food at McDonald's, they can be either good or just horrendously
tastes
bad.
Like cardboard. This isn't food I'm consuming. I don't know what the hell this is.
Well, anything at McDonald's technically isn't food, but
like sometimes you eat the fries and your hands dry out, like eczema sets in, and you're like you're falling apart, like the guy in Indiana Jones, like. And it's like
we opened the Ark of the Covenant.
That Happy Meal box is like the Ark with. Like little
things start swirling around you in your car.
Yeah, the only thing I'll eat there anymore is the breakfasts.
Mm-hmm.
The breakfasts is
like I'll say. I like the sausage biscuit, but that's the same thing. Like all of a sudden, all the moisture.
Oh God! Like, yeah, anything involving the biscuit at McDonald's.
It's like all the, you need
it's
to
a
just
mouth
drink
sponge.
Just a gallon of water. I'm dying.
Sadly, I can't eat that stuff anymore.
Ah, it's good. Yeah, no, that's, it's basically
you
just
missing
hey, poison. Let's eat it.
Yes.
Like basically,
oh my God, that sandwich only has 1,200 calories in
every
it.
Every single
I'll
time,
have that.
Every single
I'll
time
have
I've
two.
Had McDonald's breakfast, afterwards I'm like, God, I feel like shit.
Why did I eat that?
Ugh.
My friend Tim, when we were in high
toxic
school,
toxic waste.
Yeah, my friend Tim, when we were in high school, we would always go to McDonald's. His main order was two apple pies and a vanilla shake. And in the mornings, he was the only person I knew that would actually get that styrofoam platter of eggs, hot cakes.
I've gotten that before.
I've gotten it, yeah.
I would look at him. We're in the sitting in the car. And I'm just fascinated that he's sitting there with a plate and a fork and a knife eating off. It just... I couldn't believe it.
The reason, like, I'll eat it, I'm like, it's like I'm eating in space. It's like a space breakfast, isn't it?
Yeah, when we were kids, that was it had that cool styrofoam. That Sid and Marty Krofft commercial never gets old.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. It's better than this song.
Come on! Everybody! Adventures of a Ronald McDonald.
That was the videotape that came with something, right? God, that was bad.
Now, Bill, we have a voicemail from Rick. Would you like to hear it?
Rick from Australia, or is he calling from Europe?
Let's see. I don't know.
That globe-trotting son of a bitch.
Yeah, he looks like he's having a great time.
Yeah, he does. He was taking pictures of himself in Rome today.
Let's check this out.
Hey guys, how's it going? As you can tell from my voice, I am recovered from my tonsillectomy, and it Thank is God. Great. I highly recommend not doing that if you don't need to. It's very painful. I listened to Swell Noel this week. Sorry, I'm chewing on a soother. It's a bit crackly in my mouth. Good. I liked the episode where the start with all the audio troubles. It kind of made me feel like I was sitting in with you guys and listening to just being a part of what was going on. It wasn't just
he sounds like he's in the rainforest.
It was like I was there and
the rainforest
almost
cafe.
Helping in a non-helpful way. If you know what I mean, you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. You would have seen
I'm
me
back.
Being
my
irritable.
Voice is stronger than ever. Well, not completely, but I'm almost there. And, you know, life's good. I am going away for a month. I'm traveling Europe.
Oh, this is
and,
before you left.
So I don't know if I'll be able to send any voicemail while I'm over there, but I hopefully shall be able to. And so, okay, The Hobbit, I watched that. That was great. I really enjoyed it. But I've got to ask you guys a question. I watched it in 2D. I don't know if it was high frame rate or not, but I want to ask if you
it
noticed
wasn't.
A certain point of that movie. The barrel scene going down the river. It was great fun. But there were certain moments that took me out of it when they went from, you know, what was going on to the first person view, like a first person view of Bilbo, or whoever was in a barrel. I assume it was probably Bilbo's point of view. And the quality went from, like, the beautiful sexiness
yes.
of the movie to, like, they used a GoPro camera for
that's
that
what I was just
first person
say.
View of the people in the barrel. Did you notice that, the quality change?
Yeah.
Maybe not if you watched it in 3D with the 48 frames a second. I don't know. But for me, it was like a big jump in quality from the, you know, this awesome quality to like a GoPro shot from that. Anyway, I was wondering if you noticed that. Because that was the only part where I was like, what the frick? That? Why did they do that? There's no GoPros in Middle Earth. That doesn't make any sense.
There might be.
But the rest of it was just delightful. And I could have watched Smaug and Bilbo just talk for the rest of the movie. When they started talking, I was like, yeah, just keep doing this. I want to keep seeing them talk and keep hearing Smaug call him Barrel Rider. It was just a lot of fun seeing them interact. So anyway, it was a great show again, and I'll be a bit better with voicemails because now my voice is sweet and stuff. So have a great show, guys, and I'll talk to you next time. Love, Rick. I mean, Rick loves you. Bye, guys. This was Rick from Australia. Kisses.
Wet kisses.
Hey guys, this is another quick one. yes, I do get a bit dirty on Chinstroker and Punter, Chinstroker versus Punter podcast.
How do you remember when I said that?
You've got a bit more of a dirty vibe, and I'm kind of, you know, pretty dirty after 23 years of
You're
being
filthy.
In a strict church. Afterwards, I kind of let go a bit, and so I've kind of got two sides. Like, I've got a nice, sweet side, and then I've got a depraved, kind of repressed side that I let out, and they give me the opportunity to get out my swears and dirtiness. So I do that. But
gotta get out
you know,
your swears.
It's good to sometimes not be so disgusting. anyway, I just thought I'd mention that as well. So catch you later.
Well,
see you later.
I don't know when to say anything.
Someone strangle that
Thanks
bird.
Thanks for coming, guys. I really appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Rick.
Bye, Rick.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
You dirty, filthy cyborg.
Yes. Rick is a dirty, filthy cyborg.
My wonderful new friend Emma is listening to the show right now, and she made a wonderful comment to me on Facebook chat just now. The reason why that was such a shocking kind of – it pulled you right out is because it was the only moment that was real. That entire barrel riding thing was CGI. And whenever you do that first-person point-of-view shot with like a GoPro or whatever they used, that was, you know, actually them plunging it into water or whatever. And it was a little strange.
I didn't remember when he was talking about, but I think I kind of am now remembering that.
It wasn't as noticeable in the high frame rate 3D.
Yeah.
But when I saw it in the IMAX 3D, it was jarring. Like, whoa, wait, what?
That whole scene was so awesome, though. That's one of the highlights
of
the film.
It was so quick pace. I don't think I noticed it.
Yeah. If I did notice it, I didn't care. It was just awesome. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's a total nitpick, but it was still fantastic. I mean, I can't even wrap my mind around the way Peter Jackson and his crew just choreographed that scene. I want to know who is responsible or what team was responsible for that, because that was incredible to put together not only the hobbits going down the river in barrels, but then the invasion of the orcs and the repelling forces of the elves. It was mind blowing. By like the end of that scene,
look at all the men walking around, right?
Yeah, you're holding your breath, and then I don't know which dwarf it is that busts through the barrel. I can't remember the name.
Neither can I. I can't remember any of those guys' names.
Well, there's Killy and Philly and Killy and Philly. They'll just name those two.
Bofur.
Yeah. Oh, crap.
Gopher.
Bomber.
I have a picture one time when the first Hobbit came out. It tells you who all they are. I got to find that again. It says, this guy has a big mustache. This guy has a big beard.
Yeah.
This guy has a big nose.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah, it was just wonderful. I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I think...
Yeah, me too.
My favorite part of the film was the very end, whenever the entire theater burst into groans and curses after Smaug does the "I am fire, I am death,"
and you're like, "Ooh, what's gonna happen?" Wait, it's over.
Hey. Well, anybody that read the book knows what happens, but it just shows you how many people just got sucked into it and
you
wanted
see it
more.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you read the book; you want to see that shit play out, man, on screen.
No, I loved it.
I
even loved the created character Atariel. I thought that was really well done.
I saw the thing is like worst female characters this year in movies, and she's like one of the number ones, like characters, like worst, you know, character in a movie. I guess some people are just too into their shit, like
don't want any change from the book. Or,
yeah. How dare
I can understand staying true to it, but you know, Jackson and Boyens, and I mean that crew—they're kind of known for the strong female character. They even expanded the storyline of Liv Tyler play in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. That entire love story was non-existent in the books between Aragorn and
Liv
blanking.
Liv Tyler. We know who you're talking about.
That was non-existent.
Yeah, and I
Arwen. Yes, thank you, Emma. Arwen.
Yes. It's Emma, not my daughter. Somebody else. Just so
yes, yes, Emma, yes. Not your daughter.
It's kind of weird. I got to get used to you saying Emma about somebody else.
Yes.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
It's not video, it's audio, Napoleon. Jeez.
Yeah, but I loved The Hobbit. I thought it was fantastic.
Totally. Can't wait to get the Blu-ray. I've got Hobbit, the first one, on 3D Blu-ray, Bill, thanks to you!
Yes, and it's the extended version, which is most excellent.
Yes. I want to sit down and watch the whole thing. All I've been able to do is, like, you know, watch a scene and go, okay, I can't wait to watch all this kind of thing.
I miss the high frame rate, though. It's so strange how you adapt to that. And even whenever I went to see The Desolation of Smaug, I it didn't. When you first saw the Hobbit, what did they call the first one? An Unexpected Adventure?
Unexpected Journey.
It took like 10 minutes to adjust. It took time for your brain to catch up with your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Everything looked like it was in fast forward, but I think maybe your brain learns it because the moment they launched into the Desolation of Smaug, it was perfect.
I think I didn't experience any of it. Gandalf is in that restaurant or whatever.
restaurant.
He's in a Denny's.
He's in the Prancing Pony in Bree.
Yeah, he's in the Prancing Pony. He's sitting there. And at first, like, he's eating. He's getting a plate and stuff, and it looks kind of sped up. But then you get used to it again, and it doesn't bother you, you know? In fact, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember how this looks. This is awesome. And I was totally into it.
I think my favorite part of that was the moment they go to Bree and the camera goes down to street level, Peter Jackson walks out right in front of the camera, and it's like, hey!
Yeah, I laughed. And it's funny, he like walks onto the screen like, hey, look at me, everybody. Hey, it's Peter Jackson. What's he doing?
And I feel like when I saw it in the IMAX experience, it was actually lacking. I just really missed the HFR. And I guess Stephen Colbert's in there, too?
Yeah. I saw a picture later on. I didn't notice him in the film, but...
Yeah, I didn't notice it. I saw it three times, and I guess because I didn't know to look for him, but the Peter Jackson cameo was just, like, right in your face.
Yeah, right at the beginning of the movie, too. It's hilarious. Yeah.
I guess he figured he would do it then instead of pull you out midway through.
Yeah. But I love all those dwarves and stuff. They're awesome. You start to know them more as the movies. As the
Thor and Oakenshield. That entire scene with the Cumberbatch-tasticness of Smaug and the dwarves playing that cat and mouse game.
And they're in the furnace area and all that shit was awesome.
Some of them are hot.
Yeah. And I actually got to see it with that Atmos sound.
Ooh, Dolby Atmos.
Yeah, and that just blew my mind.
That Dolby doesn't work, though, on the Xbox One. God damn.
Doesn't work the same way.
Yeah, if you're watching Dolby Atmos through the Xbox, it's just stereo, Bill.
Oh.
Damn it! But I bet that's awesome, though.
Yeah, it's like there's speakers in the ceiling.
Isn't that funny, that stuff? It could literally be they've changed nothing, but they're like, yeah, Dolby Atmos, doesn't it sound good? And you'd be like, yo, yeah, this is rocking. But they'd be like, sucka. Because whenever Dolby names something new, it's just like, awesome.
You know? When I was in high school, my friend Tim and I would actually drive into Detroit just to see movies that had that Sony Digital Dynamic Sound, the SDSS,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it was. We would drive into the worst parts of Detroit just for that sound. And we don't even know if it actually was that, but it was like placebo sound. It said it was, so it had to have been. It was awesome.
Yeah, I remember there was one theater big theater at the Hewlin Mall that had the THX, and that would be like, I want to see in that theater. If it's not in that theater, I'm not seeing that movie. You know?
Yeah.
You totally get sucked in.
I'm still the same way now, though, because I will drive I will drive 40 minutes from my home north of Columbus to this one theater, the Marcus Theaters Crosswood Cinema. It has these Dream Lounger seats. These big leather recliner seats that are just awesome. And it's got the Dolby Atmos and the they call it the ultra screen. And it's like 70 feet wide by 40 feet high. And, you know, it's kind of like that the Cinemark that we saw Oz Great and Powerful at down there when mm-hmm. I was in Dallas.
Yeah.
Except with big red recliners.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
I guess.
Kip. Yeah, it's hard to impress Kip.
Unless you're LaFonda.
LaFonda.
LaFonda, sorry.
All right, Bill, we have another voicemail. This one from Adam Sexton. Let's check it out. Not to be confused with Adam from the Bay Area, just so you guys know.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Entertainment Landfill crew, this is Adam Sexton. just calling to say hello and to leave a voicemail. I would wish I would be available for the episode live meeting in the chat room, but unfortunately I'm working late tonight, so I just figured this is about the least that I can do. I'm hoping everyone had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and got enough rest, got enough time to spend with their families. Basically, in the 2 or 3 weeks we've had into this new year, I'm really hoping that the weather hasn't been kicking everyone's asses. I've missed some work and just trying to make sure all my bills are paid on time, but hopefully this is just a minor setback. Right now it's just peaks and valleys of cold temperatures right now. I really enjoyed the last episode. I listened to it probably 2 or 3 times over the break. And I understand, Jason, that you you know, had to edit most of that first 45 minutes out, but I'd like that you kept some of it in. The people who were not able to be on, in the chat room, you have to understand, Jason was in truly rare form, and I really felt sorry for the guy trying to get Skype to work. But it was just hilarious to listen to that, and just all of us in the chat room just kind of hoping hoping he would get it all figured out, because there were a couple of times where he was thinking maybe he just can't, maybe we just can't have the show on. And I was just thinking, would that be a rotten way to end a Friday evening?
Yeah, that would have sucked.
The part that I'm glad you did keep in, Jason, is that moment when you tried to play Sean's voicemail for like the third time. You played it all the way through, and Bill was kind of, I don't know, maybe reluctant or kind of hesitant to tell you that he still couldn't hear it, so he had basically waited until the whole message was over. That made me chuckle. It was a you know, a minor goofy setback, but that just reminds you sometimes the bad things happen when the things that we take for granted stop working, or at least when Microsoft takes control of them. I really loved how y'all played the cover of Oh Holy Night at the very end. Bill, I know that song annoys you, but that song really plays well when you have other people to listen to it. And when you guys listen to it and take it apart, which is considerably easy, it really made for great listening.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to the holiday package, the new mini movies or whatever materials you've got prepared for it. I'm guessing either you'll announce that tonight on the on tonight's episode or sometime later on Facebook. I haven't seen anything, so I'll keep it on the lookout. I haven't seen a whole lot of movies. I think the last movie I saw in the theaters was Wolf of Wall Street, and I really enjoyed it, and I think it's one of Scorsese's best movies, definitely in the past 15 years. Other than that, I haven't had a whole lot of time since work's at least when it picked back up. It's kept me, especially this week, from being able to either see movies in the theater or even have enough time to rent them. I think the last movie I rented was a great little horror movie from way back called You're Next, and I would definitely recommend that. TV-wise, of course, the recent seasons of Archer and Sherlock and Justified and the continuing episodes of Almost Human, those are the ones that I've kept up with. Archer in particular had like this great little plot twist that just changed the course of the whole series. It reminded me of that Super Bowl episode of Alias in the second season, and I love where they're going with it this season. Game-wise, still trudging through Assassin's Creed 4. I mean, that's a big freaking game, and I spent a whole lot of time playing a pirate, but at least I'm at least under the impression that all these extra, all these side missions that I'm doing is kind of benefiting to me, whereas I felt in Assassin's Creed 3 that all the side stuff didn't really amount to anything, and the pacing's much better on this one. GameFly sent me Grand Theft Auto 5 recently, and I think this will probably be the first game in the franchise that I'll like. I haven't had a really easy time with the other games, and I don't know whether it's because I don't like playing as a bad guy, or I just don't like the nature of the missions, or maybe it's the control mechanics. I just remember the last game I tried to attempt. I think it was like Vice City, and there was this early mission where your character is sent to kill a woman, but make it look like an accident. And she's driving home, and you're in a car. And I'm guessing the only thing I should do is just run her off the road.
I think I remember.
One More Night by Phil Collins is playing on the radio. This woman is screaming her head off every time I try to hit her. And after a while, I got frustrated, paused the game, and then just sat there looking at the screen thinking, just, what the hell am I doing? This is not fun. And I just couldn't get into it, so I stopped after that. But I think the controls are a lot better. The characters and the story are a lot better so far. And like Assassin's Creed 4, it's a big game, so who knows when I'll be done with this. I really want to ask Bill something. I've been following his Instagram account, and he, from time to time, takes photos of vinyl records that he listens to. Just want to know if that's his primary way of listening to music, or at least his preferred way, and just how big of a collection of vinyl records that he has. Other than that, I'm pretty much all out of the news, so I hope the episode tonight goes really well. Hope Skype doesn't screw you over, and hope everyone keeps warm and enjoys another week. So good luck, and keep warm and stay safe. See y'all later. Bye.
Thanks, Adam. Bill, do you want to answer him first with your vinyl collection?
I have been listening to vinyl records since I was a little kid. And I've just always enjoyed that form of music. So, yeah, I probably have, I don't know, I never counted, but I have two big, like, bookcases, these IKEA Expedit with 9 squares in each. So I probably have, like, 1,000, maybe 2,000 records.
Pieces of vinyl?
No, not pieces of vinyl, Gary. just vinyl records. You know, they're just records. Yeah, I like records. I've always liked records. And I kind of get a kick out of taking pictures of what I listen to. It's, you know, some people use Instagram to take pictures of food. I use it to take pictures of music. But yeah, I wouldn't say that it's listening to a vinyl record. It makes you a captive audience. Especially with a modern record player that doesn't have an automatic return on the tone arm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when it reaches the end of a record, you have to be there, or it's just going to hit that locked groove over and over and over again,
right,
and basically destroy your needle. So it just, yeah, it's, I like to sit down when I want to relax or when I'm making something to eat, I put on a record. And it's kind of like my release. It's my escape.
Right.
You know, and that's, yeah, I like listening to vinyl records, but it's not my primary form. And most vinyl records now, newer ones you buy, come with automatic, you know, or with the digital downloads.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I listen to my MP3 player just as much.
Yeah, there's still a place for MP3s, right? You know, I'm sure you, when you rip a CD, you do it the highest possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, and when I rip, I'll rip vinyl records that I keep a switch behind my preamp so that if there's a record that I have that I don't, you know, want to have to buy again, I can just rip the record, and it's pretty simple. There's programs out there that do it automatically, but yeah, I don't know. I guess I feel strange talking about it because it's like one of those hobbies that I don't know. It's strange. I'm sorry. I feel weird talking about it.
You're talking to two older dudes. I mean, we grew up listening to records, but
yeah,
it wasn't practical anymore, you know. I mean, my dad
No, absolutely. It's not practical at all. It's heavy. It's a pain in the ass. You have to clean them.
I love the idea of it. My dad had thousands of records for the longest time. It was the most important thing to him. And I think that I just didn't have there was a time in my life probably when I probably could have gotten a lot of his records maybe before he got rid of them. But I didn't have that any of the equipment to listen to them, and I just wasn't interested. Now I kind of wish that I would have been like, oh, Dad, I'll take all those. I'll store them somewhere, you know? But instead, you know, he got rid of a lot of them. It's kind of painful when you think about it. He doesn't like to think about it, you know?
I'm sure he doesn't. I don't like thinking about it. The fact that you've told me the albums that he's had, and for me, honestly, it's kind of a nostalgic thing. When I listen to a record, I feel like a kid again. You know, it's just something that I remember doing, that smell, that feel. It's like this tactile thing that exists. And
nostalgia,
you know, it's
is
just
a powerful thing.
There's a ritual to it. Like when I take a record out, I get my anti-static gun. I do the, you know, and then you make sure that it's dusted off. And
My dad always had that gun.
A ritual. It's a ceremony. It's very strange.
That's why, honestly, I think my dad seems miserable most of the time. And, you know, he'll tell me, you know, I don't really listen to music anymore. It's like, man, that's why you're so miserable. It was so much a strong part of your life. And
you
then
can get a used record player like, it like that docks that we went to, or no? I mean, it's just one of those things. I love. There's like 12 record stores in Columbus, and when I go into Columbus, I kind of do this record crawl where I start up in Clintonville at my favorite store, Elizabeth Records. And I just kind of like it's this. It's like a zone, and I love finding things that I haven't heard in a long time, and it's just, it's fun. It's relaxing. It's my bag, baby.
That's all right. Like, I'll pick a time to jam out to some music and stuff. It's very relaxing.
Yeah. Whenever you and I went to that Docks Records in Fort Worth, I was in heaven. That place had so much that I probably could have spent way more than I did. And I knew I had to get out of there.
They put nothing into the decor though.
No, they have 8-track players and shit just tossed under behind the desk. It was a disaster. I mean, but it's just, you just finger through those racks and you discover things.
There's another one here next time you come you should go to called Forever Young.
You told us to go there, and I looked it up online, and everyone said it was overpriced.
It
probably is overpriced, but they've got a lot of records.
If you just want to go check it out is what I'm saying.
I plan on coming down there again here shortly, hopefully in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, it's 40,000 plus square feet, half his records, half his CDs.
Bill, I wanted to tell Adam, you know, he asked about the holiday pack. Let's just call it a pack because now it's past the holidays.
Yeah, it is.
We still have more work to do on it, and we'll update everyone. I'm glad people are interested and they want it. We just need to finish it. But
is in the can.
ETL pack. Yeah. We just have to get our shit together, all of our ducks in a row, all of our shit and gear, that kind of thing. Now we have another voicemail, this one from Clayton. Let's check this out.
Clayton Forrester?
Yes. Dr. Clayton Forrester.
Hey, guys. This is Clayton. Just wanted to tell you how much I've been enjoying listening to the show and wanted to bring up the fact that you recommended a movie quite some time ago that I finally got around to watching, and it was the Tom Cruise movie Oblivion. Just wanted to tell you that I really enjoyed the movie. I thought the story, the visual effects, and the music were amazing. And I'm not really a big Tom Cruise fan per se, but I did want to just tell you guys how much I appreciate the fact that on the show you always, you know, bring up really logical comments or arguments towards why you like things, and it kind of gives me some fresh perspective to, you know, give movies a chance or TV shows a chance that I ordinarily probably would not. So just wanted to thank you guys again for that, and I hope you have a great show. Take care.
Thanks.
You're glib. You don't even know what Ritalin is.
Thank you, Clayton. I love Oblivion. I really do.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies of 2013. I haven't made a list, Bill, but that's on it.
I don't really have a list per se, but yeah, Tom Cruise is a lunatic. We all know that. We make fun of Scientology regularly. But
I gotta tell you, man,
can tear it up on the big screen.
I think he can, too. I'm a fan of him outside, I mean, in the world of movies.
Yeah, I mean,
the guy's a freaking psycho, but
I'm a huge Joseph Kosinski fan. The guy just, he's what was he? He was an architect before he was a director. That laugh. Wow. But yeah, it just, I love Oblivion. I think Oblivion is the perfect homage to all the wonderful 70s, 80s, and 90s sci-fi movies.
But people like to say, no, it's derivative of those movies.
It celebrates it. It totally celebrates everything that makes sci-fi the wonderful genre that it is.
I freaking love it.
Wrapped in a really moving love story with an incredible score from M83.
You know, recently I rewatched the Blu-ray. I still got that kind of emotional tug at the end. You know, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to fight somebody who talks bad about it. I'll kick your ass.
Hey, and Jack Harper loves his vinyl also.
Yes, he does.
This is pretty and you much mentioned the worst to them, video
you mentioned
made.
That to me recently about how many movies have actually had records in them.
Yeah,
lately.
Yeah, like Warm Bodies, you know, the zombie guy, he listens to vinyl. And then I had seen American Hustle, and of course that's the time period when there's vinyl, but it's in the movie. So I'm just saying that people, it's romanticized, you know? People are, like, saying, yes, we are fond of this thing. I don't think it's any kind of, like, hipster douchebaggery. I think it's a fondness and, you know, a nostalgia thing. And it does sound good, too.
Yeah,
you know?
it's a nostalgia thing, but also that generation, you know, is now the filmmakers, the guys in their 30s and 40s, and that's what we grew up on. And now that it's making a return, or never really went away, but it's becoming more prevalent, it's nice. I like it. I like that I can buy a modern album on, you know, an LP and enjoy it that way. Like, it just, I love it.
That is awesome. All right, Bill, we have another voicemail. This one from Adam. Hey! Let's
Adam
check it
from
out.
The Bay Area, right?
By the way, Adam, you sent this at like 8:05. The show starts at 8. You keep doing this.
Central time.
Let's check it out.
What's up, Entertainment Landfill guys? Adam from the Bay Area here.
So
just got an email saying that you guys are recording a show tonight. Very excitable. Can't wait for the holiday pack to arrive.
Just a pack now.
The holiday show
post-holiday
and the shows before that and the show before that was so awesome. You guys have got a really good rhythm going, and I can't wait to hear more. So good luck on the show tonight. Thanks for continuing to do the show. We love hearing from you, all your loyal fan base, and have a great show. All right, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Adam.
I don't know why I laughed at the loyal fan base thing. I'm sorry. But it's true.
We do have
quite a loyal fan base. I appreciate that.
You know, we haven't heard from Mike from Ireland in a long time, but he sent a voicemail.
Oh, wow. Yay.
Let's check it out. It's a very short voicemail, but let's check it out.
I can't send a voicemail because I have no bloody space left on my goddamn phone to actually save a message. And as you can also tell, I'm watching Arrow. I have a migraine.
Switching Arrow.
Have a great show, guys. I'll give a proper voicemail message soon.
All right. Well,
wait,
thanks,
that was
Mike.
It?
I still have to have a part two.
Oh, wait. Oh.
And essentially, there's been a reason why I haven't been able to send him any voicemails.
You could pause your DVR, Mike. It's on antenna.
By the way, is there a Hyundai pack coming?
Yes, there is, but it's just called a pack now.
Yes, we just need to reiterate the pack thing.
Yeah. Okay, we have a final voicemail, guys. This one from Rick. Another Rick voicemail.
Oh, my gosh.
In...
I thought it would be Hannah. What happened to Hannah?
No Hannah voicemail, as far as I know.
Oh, Hannah. Oh. shamey you.
This Rick voicemail came in probably minutes before the show also. So I was I love this voicemail, but you guys are killing me. Let's check it out.
Hey guys, it's Rick. I gotta be a bit quiet because it's at midnight. And I'm in some someone's home. It's not my home, so I can't be noisy. I'm in Rome at the moment, and tomorrow I'm heading up to the mountains and to do some snowboarding. The dog can hear me. Anyway, I just saw on Facebook you're doing a show, so I thought I would send a quick little voicemail to say have a good show, guys. I love you, and I'll hopefully get to listen to the show soon. Okay, I love you. Bye.
Thanks, Rick. It was a little creepy with the whisper, but thank you, Rick.
It was a careless whisper.
Thank you, everyone, for your voicemails. Let's do entertainment! Woohoo! We're going to just swing by entertainment real quick. But one thing I noticed, I'm going to check Rotten Tomatoes to see what that I Frankenstein's getting, because honestly,
oh boy,
when I see the trailer, it looks like Underworld with Frankenstein, doesn't it?
Exactly like it.
4% rotten. Not
actually
good.
It's down to 3 now.
Not good. That looks awful.
And granted, we do not really put any stock in Rotten Tomatoes, but when something is that
when it's overwhelming, I assume it's bad. But plus, I thought it looked bad when I first saw the trailer. Also, it's like,
you know, I can't really say I've ever been the biggest fan of Aaron Eckhart, but after his interview on Howard Stern this week, he is an asshole. He thinks the sun just rises and sets in his nether regions. He is just, I can't get over how big of a douchebag he is. Like, he's talking about, he's a method actor in, like, when he was shooting I, Frankenstein, he was always Adam Frankenstein, you know, in that role. And I'm like,
he has a first name, Adam?
Yes, Adam. Well, in the book, Adam. But
I'm not going to defend the guy, but any actor talking about his craft, I'm sorry, they all sound douchey.
Yeah, they do.
How they come off, you know.
But he's he's a super douchebag.
I don't know. I didn't think of him that way. I just thought of him as more like he was willing to answer all of the questions he was asked.
I guess. You know? I don't know. And the movie just looks so awful.
It does.
I mean, we've been talking about like soulless remakes, like
soulless CGI fests. Basically.
Yeah, that's really what it is. It's just sterile.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks terrible.
It's just like that Hercules movie that came out. It was just like,
oh, the Rennie Harlan Hercules movie. Yeah.
When I saw Rennie Harlan directed, I was just like, oh my god.
Poor Rennie.
I've got to see this pile of shit, you know?
Yeah, I almost, you know what? I'm going to have to do it. Just, you know, I went to see the Total Recall Len Wiseman thing just because I knew it was going to be shit and I had to subject myself to
Steven
it.
Yeah, Steven and I went to see it too. And I was, it wasn't, you know, we've talked about this before in the show, but I was expecting something to be bad, but it wasn't bad.
It was just boring.
Worthless. It was.
It had nothing to add to it.
Soulless.
No. Yeah. A really good. I thought the idea of that, that like tunnel was kind of a good idea, but then the moment they started talking about how it goes weightless.
Yeah,
I was like, "Oh, come on! You're setting it up in
weightless scene coming up later.
5 minutes into the movie, you're setting up the climax with the weightless fight."
Well, not only that, you know, I talked about this before. Also, where I would take all the sets, special effects, everything, just write a new script and do a different movie, maybe more interesting, without the whole Total Recall thing.
I don't know. You can't even really call it Total Recall because it really wasn't Total Recall. It was just.
Well,
I mean,
he
it
went
took
to
the
a
premise.
Place called Recall, but there was no Mars and all that. But that's another thing.
They only vaguely talk of Mars.
I just thought it was lame, but also it came and went. It was no big deal, right?
No.
It was just like the Red Dawn remake. Dude, that thing barely got a theatrical release. It's on Netflix now. It's not
even. You know how much money they had to put into that to change it from, what was it, China to South Korea?
Yeah, it was shelved for a long time, and then they took it off the shelf. That kid who, the guy who plays Thor, aged 5 years, I think. And the movie finally came out. No one cared. No one saw it. The movie's gone. I watched it. It's soulless, too. And this brings me into RoboCop. They're doing the RoboCop remake. And that's the one that actually did kind of hurt. Like, I was like, why the hell are they touching my RoboCop, okay?
Can leave it the hell alone, Bobby.
Yes. Okay. RoboCop, the most quotable movie ever made. Okay.
Yeah. It really is.
The one of the most iconic evil bad guys that you love to hate. And automatically, I see in the trailer that Alex Murphy goes to his car and it's a car bomb that messes him up. There's not even the bad guy whole thing there.
And they call him Murphy. And they put five clips of it online. And from the very beginning, like, they're activating him, they're calling him Murphy.
Oh, I know. It's just,
there's not even any mystery to it.
They got a lot of good actors, like Gary Oldman's in it and stuff like that. But why did they do this? They didn't want this to be made. And it is painful. It makes me upset when I see the trailer. I'm just like, F you, man.
That's kind of the thing now, that good actors are doing shit movies. You have Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman and Harrison Ford did that one movie that went in and out of the theater in no time. It was like, I can't even remember what the hell it was called. It was like two lawyers fighting over the one guy who was
That's
a
what it was
spot.
Called. Two lawyers.
Yeah,
fighting.
Let's just call
let's
it
two lawyers fighting, man.
It's what happened to the Gary Oldman that did Leon?
Rosencrantz, you know, and Guildenstern are dead. I know everyone likes Leon too, but I don't think it's that great a movie.
Come on, I love that movie.
It's great for the Gary Oldman part, but come on, the movie's not that great.
I love that movie. I don't care. I hold that up in my top 10.
Top 10?
It just came along at the right time. I don't know.
I mean, I remember it's like post John Woo, and you're like, cool, he's got two guns or whatever. And he's got like magical assassin powers at the beginning of the movie. And then later on, he doesn't have them anymore. That bothers me.
Oh, come on. You don't get emotional whenever he's like barely getting out of the building at the end. And Gary Oldman's guy gets him and he's.
No, it pisses me off.
He's holding a grenade and he goes, Matilda.
Yeah, I guess, but it pisses me off more than anything. And you know what pisses me off also about that movie? Friggin' Danny Aiello never pays him his money.
He's like, I know, that guy's an asshole.
I'll take care of it for you. Don't worry. You just need any money, you ask me about it. And then at the end when Natalie Portman goes to him, like, you're supposed to give him, you know, he's supposed to give her money. And he's like, no, I'll hold on to it for you. Tell you what, you'll be working around here. And he's going to groom her as an assassin, right?
Well, that's the hope.
Here's the problem I had with that film, and it's the same problem I had with the new Schwarzenegger movie, The Last Stand that I just watched, which I enjoyed immensely, except when it comes time for the big climax, I want a big effing shootout that lasts 20 minutes. I want 50 guys coming through the door with the main guy with two pistols, just picking them off like Chow Yun-Fat. I want that kind of shit. And when it doesn't happen, I'm like, a little disappointed.
I was telling you all about, I was so excited for that movie because of the South Korean director. And his name is totally blanking on me. Is it Kim Ji-won? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But he's done, like, his film that he did, The Good, the Bad, and the Weird, kind of a play on The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
It's beyond pretty cool. It's balls out, nutty, insane craziness.
Is that still on Netflix? I'll watch it.
I don't know if it's on Netflix, but it has some of the coolest shootouts, and it's just hilarious.
Nice.
It's a really fun movie, and I'm thinking, wow, this is his first American film. It's got, you know, Arnold in it. It's got Peter Stormare. It's got, you know, all these guys that can chew scenery.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, this is going to be really fun. I went to see it opening day, and it's just so bleh.
I'm telling you, it's got a good setup when it comes down time for the big showdown. The showdown doesn't, it lasts like 5 minutes or something.
And it looks horrible. The CGI background screen fight thing, it looks like it's out
There's
of the...
There's a part at the end where the bad guy's going onto this bridge, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is standing there on the bridge waiting for him, and it's like, what green screen? I mean, it's just like, it looks like he's in a warehouse.
The fight at the end of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Or they're running
just,
to the helicopter.
It looks so phony.
Yeah. But, I mean, I honestly had a lot of fun with the movie, and I was just like, ah, they let me down here. The shootout needed to be badass. You know what I mean?
Okay, so we're saying that about Last Stand, but how does that compare to Leon?
Leon, there is no climactic shootout. It's nothing. There's a part where he hangs upside down in his door, which makes no freaking sense. They just shot him in the effing head.
He didn't want his legs to get shot. I don't know.
When he drops down and he's upside down, they should have went right in his friggin' head.
like one of those
he would have been
bags.
Just dangling in there when the movie's over. Like, well, that was a bad idea how he hung upside down. It's like one of those movies I saw in the theater and I was like, dude, that movie's awesome. Later on you watch it on cable, it's like, this movie's not awesome. It doesn't make any friggin' sense.
But, I can't help it. Don't judge me.
No, I understand. Gary Oldman is excellent in that, though. I mean, he's totally over the top ridiculous, but you love him for
it. So great.
Like when he listens to what is he the way
Beethoven.
He, yeah, Beethoven while biting into his pills. He's totally overacting in that, but you don't care. It's awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean.
Hey, I wanted to mention that Bill, Lone Survivor, the Peter Berg film, excellent.
Yeah, I was genuinely moved by that. It's the explosions in the sky score that really put it over the top for me. I'm such a Friday Night Lights whore. Like, I just love that Peter Berg continues to use those actors in great roles
Jim
and give
Riggins.
Them wonderful moments. And yeah, I actually wanted to read that book that Marcus Luttrell wrote after seeing it. And there was a great 60 Minutes piece about it also that is quite moving. That
yeah,
Anderson
Cooper
did.
I watched a Charlie Rose interview with them. And
that's another really good interview. You can see it in that Luttrell's eyes that he died there.
He's seen some shit.
Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to go back. It's like he said in that interview with Charlie Rose, he hates every day that he wakes up and he's not over there.
I know. He went back after that, I believe.
I think I don't think he's allowed.
I thought he went back.
Well, maybe he did. I don't know. But yeah, I thought Lone Survivor was really well done.
Yeah, totally. The Wolf of Wall Street, I will say this about The Wolf of Wall Street. I don't know what I was thinking, because when you think back of Goodfellas, it's a great movie, but it is hilarious. You're laughing throughout that movie. It's sick shit. Wolf of Wall Street has some sick shit in it, but I was laughing quite a bit in that film.
Yeah,
just
I watched
ridiculous.
It. I ended up watching it also, and I was laughing.
Wait all week for the fucking Equalizer!
Yeah, it just...
scene there, Rob Reiner, he's trying to watch the Equalizer, his phone rings, he's like, God damn it! Don't they know not to call on Tuesdays? Because he's watching the Equalizer.
You know,
I was like,
really
I love it.
It did remind me a lot of Goodfellas. In that way that these are all despicable human beings, and they are all incredible just F-ups.
Yeah.
Just they are terrible people that we are actually at times even sympathizing with or laughing with, and then you're like, wait, it's sort of like the Sopranos, how all those characters on the Sopranos were terrible people.
It's the kind of thing the main character Leonardo DiCaprio plays, he's like, he's such a scumbag, but you're like, you don't want him to get caught or something.
Yeah, he's destroying the economy and yet we don't want him to get caught.
Yeah, and I got to say this, when Jonah Hill was nominated, I was actually like, you know what? He was good in it.
He was great in it. Again, another interview on Howard Stern where I was just blown away at how much he told Martin Scorsese, he's like, just give me this chance. I will take minimum. I will work as hard as anybody. And he, I think it was like almost a year they spent on that film.
Yeah.
And he only made $60,000.
$60,000, yeah.
Yeah, and that's pennies for a film.
Yeah.
You know, most of those guys that worked on that film, and he took a punch from John Barenthal.
Yeah.
A full-on face punch.
He's great in that movie, too. It was great seeing him and also Kyle Chandler in it.
Yes.
But,
you know, I got to bring it up. Kyle Chandler is also incredible in The Spectacular Now.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I watched that last night, and I'm just it was great.
I gotta see it.
I really liked it.
I've heard good things.
Yeah, and Kyle Chandler, man, I cannot see him enough in things. Coach Taylor,
here's the
clear
thing,
eyes,
though,
full hearts.
Like I don't want to spend too much time on the Oscars. I can't see Wolf of Wall Street winning Best Picture just because people are like, oh, it's despicable kind of portrayal. It'll probably be that 12 Years a Slave movie, which I haven't seen. Don't you expect that?
Blues.
Now, I have seen American Hustle, and while I liked it, it's kind of like, remember when the Catherine Bigelow, the Hurt Locker, won,
yes,
or whatever? Everyone was like, oh, incredible movie. I think it's a good movie, but I was like, it's not that great. You know?
Yeah, I felt the same way.
My favorite scenes in American Hustle are between Bradley Cooper and Louis C.K. Love them, those moments, and they crack me up. I do think Jennifer Lawrence is awesome in the film. But Wolf of Wall Street, if you're going to just base it on entertainment value, that movie had me rolling. And, Bill, there's this one scene in Wolf of Wall Street about lewds. old Quaaludes, and
Quaaludes.
Nothing's happening, and the part where it kicks in while he's on the phone is so goddamn funny. Oh my god, I was losing my shit during that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. And for pure entertainment value, for movie that made me feel every emotion possible and left me in a heap on the ground after it, Gravity.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that's just one of those movies that...
And Laura finally got to see it today in 3D because they re-released it.
Yeah, I saw that. I want to go again this weekend. I remember taking my mom, and I've told you this, just the genuine reaction she had after the screen goes black and it says Gravity, and I turn to her and I look at her and I said, so what did you think? And she just burst into tears and said, I don't know why I'm crying. And it's just that rush, I've never experienced anything like that in a theater before.
It's quite a film. I'd like Heather to see it. She's just like, I want to see something where it's scary.
Not scary at all.
But
intense
intensity.
You should take her this weekend because I know it's showing.
It's
funny, they're
Laura,
showing it Laura's, all weekend. I think
Laura texted me. She goes, "Hey, should we watch The Gray?" Her husband, Matt, he doesn't really like violent stuff, like intense stuff. I'm like, no.
No.
I don't even want to watch it again.
That's one of those movies that I never want to see again. And it's funny, speaking of movies I never want to see again, The Counselor is coming out on Blu-ray here.
Yeah.
On February, I think it's February 10th or maybe February 21st. It's one of those. I actually, when I saw that, I was like, I need to revisit that. I need to be surrounded and fully encompassed in this death show.
Yeah.
It gets me thinking again how much it just screwed with my head.
My dad raved about that movie. He loved it.
Yeah, I'm right there with your dad. I will never understand why people hated on it so much.
Yeah, they were all hung up on, like, no one talks like this.
I thought it was just gorgeous.
Yeah, I wondered. I asked Kip what he thought of The Counselor.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Okay, that's his review there, Bill. Also, Her, Bill. What did you think of Her?
Her is another one of those movies that destroyed me.
Spike Jones.
Yeah, because when you go, it's just one of those things. Like when you go through life lonely and always looking for that connection. And it just, I don't know. I know some people were just kind of lukewarm on it, but it just, it blew my mind.
I thought it was so well written, And yeah. The world was so realized. You know, I always, my buzzword, world building. The world is so built well in that. I honestly think that that will win best original screenplay.
It has sure. to.
I thought it was really pretty incredible. It's incredible when you watch a movie that makes you feel something, but also it just... You ride it like a wave, and that's what that movie is.
Yeah, and Scarlett Johansson, I just a voice, you know, only a voice, and it's a fully realized character.
Yeah, totally.
You know,
totally.
You're right there you're with like, her when she's struggling through that crisis of sentience.
Yeah, yeah. You're know,
finally,
about her
you know, becoming a person. You know, not knowing how to deal with that.
My thing I do now, just for entertainment value, when I watch a movie, I go to IMDb and look at the message boards, just because it's hilarious. I'm telling you, people
ask it's high comedy.
Dumbest question. Or they're concerned with something that is so frivolous, so it has nothing to do. But people are like, how can anyone fall in love with such an annoying voice? And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Or like someone will say something like, are you telling me smartphones are really that small? You would think they would be bigger. And it's just like, that's what you're hung up on.
Are they talking about like the interface that had the camera in it?
I think, yeah, his little phone he carries around. It's just come on, it's in the future. It's going to be bigger than that. Come on. This movie's fake. I'm walking out.
I don't understand people.
It's hilarious,
man. I really don't.
And they're hot.
All right, Bill, let's get into what's on our TiVo, and then we're going to take a break, because I'm sure we all have to use the potty, right?
Yes, we do. We do.
What's on our TiVo? Wee-hee! All right, we are going to take a break here in a moment. And I actually did the show where I made no clips. I made the Dead Rising 3 clip, and I made one more clip because I saw Conan do a bit on this, and I was like, I have to see this real clip here. And do you guys remember when Dennis Rodman went to North Korea again, and he was going to do this basketball game what's the guy's name? It's Jong-il, or, you know.
Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un, yeah.
It was his birthday. And he was going to take some former NBA guys and do a basketball game or something. I don't know. So people were all up in Dennis Rodman's grill asking him, like, apparently North Korea has an American in captivity. And right. They won't do anything or admit anything about it. And so this guy is questioning Dennis Rodman about it. Won't you bring this up? Come on, bring this dialogue up.
Dennis
about this.
Rodman knows anything about, you know, policy.
Yeah. And it's so funny because Dennis Rodman is surrounded by these other basketball players who really have nothing to say. And they all have their arms on him like, calm down, calm down, calm down. Dennis Rodman is getting fired up, but you can't understand a word he says. Am I right?
Right.
And he gets all fired up here, and it's hilarious because I don't really understand him. So let's check this out. It's awesome. Gold audio here, buddy. Let's check it out.
I wish you good luck and effectiveness in influencing the people there. I hope it's a good cultural exchange. Dennis, let me end on this. You do have a relationship with this man. You've said it many times. We've seen it demonstrated for whatever reason.
Yes.
Are you going to take an opportunity,
right,
if you get it, to speak up for the family of Kenneth Bay and to say, let us know why this man is being held, that this is wrong, that he is sick? If you can help Dennis, will you take the opportunity?
The one thing about politics, Kenneth Bay did one thing. If you understand, if you understand what Kenneth Bay did,
yeah.
Do you understand what he did?
What did he do? You
in
tell
this
me.
Country.
Will you tell me what he do?
No. You tell me. You tell me. Why is he held captive?
They haven't released any
country?
Charges. They haven't released. They haven't released any reason.
Let me do this.
What in the hell is going on?
Speak on this.
Go ahead.
You got 10 guys here. 10 guys here. They have left their families. Left their damn families to help this country as a sports venture. We got 10 guys, all these guys here.
What is he talking about?
Do you understand that?
We do, and we appreciate that, and we wish them well with cultural exchange.
No. I'm just saying, no, I don't give a shit. I'm going to rat's ass what the hell you think. I'm saying to you, look at these guys here. Look at them.
Yeah, but Dennis, don't put it on them. Don't use them as an excuse for the behavior that you're putting on yourself.
They came here.
You just basically were saying that Kenneth Bay did something wrong. We don't even know what the charges are. Don't use these guys as a shield for you, Dennis.
Listen.
Who's talking now?
Ain't no shield. I got it. Let me do this. Really, I'm going to tell you one thing. People around the world, I'm going to do one thing. Your guy behind the mic right now, we are the guys here doing one thing. We have to go back to America and take the abuse.
I'm so confused right now.
Do you have to take the abuse? Well, we're going to take it. Do you, sir? Let me know. Are you going to take that abuse? We're going to get it. But guess what, Joe? One day.
What language was that?
One day.
Drunkenese.
Here they are right here. Boom. Out the ass. Some cookies out the ass. You want some cookies?
Cookies out the ass.
You guys get all that, huh?
No, I honestly have no idea. I don't think he knew what he was saying. He just... it's, you know what? I think he found a new toy in Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. It's his little friend now.
Well,
and he'll
here's the thing I can't get past. And it's the fact that he speaks English. Dennis Rodman does. Do I. I don't understand a word he says. How does a North Korean guy understand a damn word he says? How are they friends?
Don't actually
how is that translated?
Yeah, they don't translate it. You know what? For all the Kim Jong-un knows, all the translators saying, oh, great, eternal leader, you know, just they're not actually translating what he says. They don't understand him.
Yeah.
That's probably why that's they hilarious. Like him so much is that he's just it's the translator kissing his ass. Kim Jong-un's ass that.
I'm out of here.
Oh, he took off. Oh. Well, on that note, guys, let's take a break and we'll be right back. What do you guys say?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Be right back, everybody.
And we're going to make millions.
I'm like really into video games, you know, like for sure, totally. And Atari has this offer that's like so awesome, I am sure. Okay, now you can get an Atari video game cartridge free. Like totally. That's like so tubular, you know?
Buy two of these great hits, and Atari will send you any one of these great games free.
That's like so super, super nice. To the max. I'm like so sure.
Buy two, get one free.
For sure.
Throughout Colombia, South America, for centuries, the people have gone to the marketplace. It is here that they trade. It is here that they buy their coffee. Coffee grown by men like Juan Valdez. He washes the coffee by hand and then dries it carefully in the sun. The coffee is prepared for market as it has been for centuries. Because for Colombians, their coffee is more than just the richest coffee in the world. It is a national heritage.
This part's for you. For being on the job and working hard all day. So here's to you. You know there's no one else who does it quite the way you do.
Columbia Pictures presents the two most critically acclaimed movies of the year. Gandhi, nominated for 11 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director Richard Attenborough, and Best Actor Ben Kingsley. Rated PG. And Tootsie, nominated for 10 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Best Director Sidney Pollack, and Best Actor Dustin Hoffman.
I've never wanted a woman this much.
Tootsie, rated PG from Columbia Pictures. Check newspapers for theaters and showtimes.
After a busy day, it's time to wind down and catch your breath. Wind down with Lipton Herbal Tea. A blend of natural herbs, spices, and fruit, and no caffeine. It's soothing, delicious. Wind down and relax. There's no caffeine. Lipton Herbal Tea. In gentle orange, almond pleasure, cinnamon apple. Enjoy one and wind down. Mmm, delicious.
McDonald's and you.
Come on, baby.
sweet mama. Let's go for a walk.
Love.
Since I can remember, my grandmother's been a love I can depend on. She's my special friend.
The first time I brought you here, you were this high, and you tricked me out of my French fry.
Who, me?
There you go.
When I warm up for a game, I use Bengay.
Professionals like Larry Bird use Bengay not only after exercise, but to help warm up before. Does Bengay really help? A recent clinical study proved that people using Bengay during warm-up ran more comfortably for a longer time. For years, Bengay has relieved soreness after exercise. Now there's proof Bengay can help you warm up before, Bengay after, and Bengay before.
Feel better with Bengay.
If you created the perfect game for your family, you'd want it to be entertaining for grown-ups, fun for the kids, and a lot of laughs. You might add a dash of skill, a pinch of strategy, and a little bit of luck. Of course, you'd make it simple to play, but fill it with surprises. What would you have when you finished?
Uno!
Well, what do you know? Uno. No wonder you can't say no to Uno. America's family get-together.
Uno!
You're a whole new generation. You love and want to do. I put a pencil in the motion, but that choice is up to you. Hey, you're the best generation. Cause I'm down and taste the thrill of the day. And feel the Pepsi way. You're a whole new generation.
You are the new American society, the movers and the shakers.
Hold on tight to your dream.
You are the new coffee generation.
Because coffee is the calm moment that lets you think. Coffee gives you the time to dream it. Then you're ready to do it. No other drink does that like coffee.
Hold on tight to your dream.
Join the coffee achievers.
You mowed down those pins like you never did before. Then your final shot knocks down a whole lot more. Well, the know-how you can count on is right on your shelf. Don't pay some guy to help you out. Do the job yourself. You can do it easy. Sure does pay. With Time Life Books, you've got it made. Whatever the problem, Time Life Books Home Repair and Improvement gives you the skill to solve it. You'll start getting results with your first book, Kitchens and Bathrooms. Just a thing if you've got changes in mind. If you keep it, pay just $9.95 plus shipping and handling. Then about every other month, you get another book. Same low price. They pay for themselves with a few little jobs. Keep only those you want and cancel anytime. So if the bathroom needs redoing and the plumbing's out of whack, it's no big deal to do it when you've got the knack. With Time Life Books, you'll handle big jobs, too, and have the house you always wanted when you're through. And hey, call now and you'll get this tool guide free when you buy your first book. Yeah, you can do it easy. Sure does pay. With Time Life Books, you've got it made.
To order your first book for a 15-day examination, just phone toll-free 1-800-USA-1000. That's 1-800-USA-1000, or write Kitchens and Bathrooms, Box 49648, Atlanta, Georgia. That toll-free number again is 1-800-USA-1000.
Hot dog, 25 cents.
Only 25 cents for a hot dog? How good could it be?
I'm making it easy for people to try Purdue Chicken Franks.
Chicken Franks? Free would be a lot easier.
Purdue Chicken Franks cost less and have 25% less fat than regular hot dogs.
All right, all right.
So?
Tastes as good as a real hot dog.
This kid has good taste and good looks.
Try Franks Franks. They're good in every way.
I thought it would taste good, but not this good.
There's both Diet Coke and new caffeine-free Diet Coke.
Bet you didn't know all the good things that go into shaking bake.
For goodness sake!
A dozen herbs and spices make it
shake and bake.
For goodness sake!
Shake and Bake coating mix blends wheat and barley flour and a dozen herbs and spices to help you make a delicious chicken dinner.
Things you didn't know, all the good things that go.
For goodness sake!
Into Shake and Bake.
For goodness sake!
Nobody else has it.
But what is it, Mr. Foster?
Aquafresh's triple protection formula. They took the label off to show you.
The maximum fluoride protection of the leading paste. All the breath freshener of the leading gel.
And gentle cleaners that even remove stained film. Concentrated in one complete toothpaste. Aquafresh has it all.
That's why we all use Aquafresh.
Triple protection Aquafresh. A complete toothpaste.
I'm going to Kingsford tonight. I'm really going to do it right. Don't have to fight it. I'm just going to light it. I'm really going to do it right. I'm going to Kingsford. Kingsford tonight.
You going to trust that steak to any ordinary charcoal? Get the best. Kingsford fires up fast, easy every time. Get out in Kingsford.
Do it right.
I can't wait for that first bite.
Kingsford tonight.
Good vibrations, sun-kissed orange, soda taste sensation.
Sun-kissed orange, diet sun-kissed. All natural flavors, absolutely no caffeine.
I'm giving out orange vibrations, bubbly sun-kissed sensation. Sun-kissed is giving out good vibrations.
Let us take you to a new garden spot where ripe, juicy fruits and fresh vegetables flourish. Introducing Wendy's Bigger, Better Salad Bar, Wendy's new garden spot. Now we've added 7 new ingredients to our bountiful all-you-can-eat salad bar, including a new dressing. There's never been a salad bar quite like it.
It's the garden spot of America.
Come, try Wendy's new garden spot for Wendy's kind of people.
Well, sorry to hear that, Dennis. I mean, come on.
Poor rat's ass.
Well, you know, you gotta give him one thing. He's confident. He's dumb, but he's confident.
Uh-oh, Bill. You're away from your mic.
Sorry, my mic. Sorry.
No, it's cool, sir.
Sorry. Yes, I always put it up, and I forgot to bring it back down.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
But, you know, it's been a month. We can kind of get into the groove again.
Yeah, we're getting into the groove. Now, I just wanted to briefly mention some of the shows I've been watching. Like, Bill, Sherlock. Yeah.
Sherlock, this I would have to say
episodes.
this is pretty damn good. There was a lot of it was fan service, but
I loved it. Loved it so much. It's just now airing here in America, but because of you, I got to watch all 3 episodes already.
Yes.
I freaking love that show and the writing and the actors so much.
It's sharp. Yeah, I mean, we had the empty hearse, which was mainly them screwing around with all the conspiracy theorists on the internet.
I love
that. Hilarious.
What it mostly played with also is that you try to figure out what's going on, and then you think, I mean, you theorize it. I'm having problems. Well, you theorize it, and then finally when they tell you, you're like, oh, that's it? And then you're like, no. And then you doubt it. And then,
yeah.
You know, it's exactly what the internet does, which is funny.
Yeah. And then there was the last vow at the wedding, which was really well done.
That's probably my favorite. I love the structure of that. And it was
you
so funny.
There was something really charming about the last vow in that, like, the first 30 minutes, I was getting irritated with it. Like, I was getting angry. And then I kind of realized that that was the whole point. That they wanted to put you in that mindset of John and Mary.
You're kind of like, when does the mystery kick into gear and these guys go off to solve it? But it's not like that.
Yeah, and when it hits that stride, that last 60 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and it was glorious.
I love that each episode is basically a movie.
Yes, it's a 90-minute movie.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, and then we had The Last Vow, which just turned... The Last Vow was the episode that set up next season, but also turns everything on its head.
Yeah, totally screws with your head, yeah.
Yeah, I just loved being totally screwed with.
I did too, yeah, loved it. Also, Banshee, yeah. Bill, have you been watching Banshee?
Yeah, I caught up with the first two episodes of Banshee Season 2. Episode was a little weak, but the second episode's right back into that...
Shows batshit insane. Yeah.
Yes, where you feel like you need a Silkwood shower after watching it.
Yeah, definitely.
Just scrub down with very hard bristles until you're red and bloody.
If you want to watch people get the shit beat out of them, watch that show.
And lots of naked men and women. Because they're pretty equal opportunity with that.
Yes. Yeah, they are. Also, Justified. I love Justified. That's a treat. You know?
I caught up on Justified yesterday, and it really is starting to feel final.
Don't say that, Bill. Don't you say that.
No, but it's true. Don't you get that vibe just from the first three episodes? Like, it's setting up the end game.
No, but they're going to change their minds and do even more.
Maybe they'll do a movie. That would be great.
That would
be. But with Elmore Leonard passed away,
they could come up with something.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
No, Justified's awesome. I love it. Yeah. I love...
Have you ever read the two books that Raylan Givens is part of? Pronto and... I can't remember the other one.
The one, it's called Fire in the Hole is the
Fire
story.
In the Hole, and then there's Pronto.
And then before he died, he wrote a book called Raylan.
Oh, did he? I did not know that.
All about Raylan Givens, and it's called Raylan, which is cool.
I am all over that. I can't see anyone else as Raylan Givens than Timothy Olyphant.
Me neither. I love him as that character.
And I always say, if they need to recast a Han Solo or a Solo child, he should be one of them.
Yep.
Because he he is that.
There's this great scene. Yeah.
Quality. Just, oh.
If I would have made a clip, it would have been this scene where Raylan is standing there with this guy from Tennessee, this drug guy, and he's got his all of his men with guns, like three other dudes, right? And he's like, here's... And Sheriff Bullock. Raylan Givens says... He was great in Deadwood, too, by the way. He says, what you're going to do is leave these two kids alone, and you're going to go on about your business. You're going to leave here and not come back. And the guy goes, well, you're not in any position to tell us what to do. You know, I got four guys here with me, and I just say the word, and they put a bullet in your head. He's like, that may be so, but I got to tell you, I've been trained to kill, and I'm a really good shot. I will kill at least three of your men before you get a shot in me. The first guy I shoot will be you. Do you want to take those chances? And he's just like, all right, well, we're going to be taking off. He totally tucks the guy into like, okay, maybe he's right. We should leave. Because he would get the shot off and kill that guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he can pull the gun and shoot people fast. He's really good at it.
He's Han Solo.
Yeah, so I love shit like that. That's why I love that show.
It's that, like, that cock of the walk. It's the confidence. Like, he knows how good he is, and he has no problem putting it into words.
It was a great scene, like, with that guy. What is his name? Dewey?
Dewey Crow?
Yeah, when he goes up to his pool, and he's like... He's like, you're on parole. Should you be carrying a firearm? He goes, that's not mine. And he goes, your name Dewey? It says it right here on the butt of the gun. He's like, I don't know where that came from.
I just love what they're doing with the Dewey character.
Oh, yeah. He's such a dumb guy. But I love what
you feel bad for him.
Yeah, Raylan shoots at. It's an above-ground pool he's in with these two prostitutes. But he shoots holes in the pool and it starts leaking water. And he's just standing there. He goes, get a bucket!
Like, that would do anything. Just walking away with a grin.
Yeah.
Just like, it's just too much fun.
Great show. And True Detective on HBO, Bill. Have you been watching that?
Alexandra Daddario.
That show is reeking of atmosphere, isn't it?
It is. It does. It does reek of atmosphere. That's the perfect...
There's this killer we know nothing about. All they do is find a victim, and it reminded me. The first person I said is it's Hannibal Lecter. That's who did it.
Yeah,
it's totally a Hannibal Lecter crime scene, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm excited about where it's gonna go, and it's fun.
Which, by the way, Hannibal comes back in February.
Yes,
any moment now it'll be back.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fanable. I dig the shit.
Is that
out
they
of that.
Call them?
Yeah, that's what they call them.
It's like animals. Banshees. They call them fanshees.
Fanshees. Yeah, and can we just bring up the whole hashtag horse shit on Banshee?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I figured out why they were doing it, but it's still annoying. It was a free Cinemax weekend, I guess. Supposedly it'll be gone
for 2 weeks in a row.
That's what I read on AVS forum. So those guys could be full of shit, but basically, when you watch Banshee, right down where a logo is a bright, would you say a neon orange?
Yeah. It's like neon yellow.
Yeah. Hashtag Banshee, which is, yeah, the show you're watching, you know what it's called. You don't
need
that.
And it never fades.
And yeah, I own a plasma, and I'm not too worried about burning and stuff, but when that bright orange shit is in the corner of my screen for an hour, I do start to worry about it.
Well, it burns in, but you have to like use that scrolling setting to get it off, because it did on mine. It
did
was
it
there
really?
For like 4 hours.
Wow. No, I didn't know
it went away,
because
mine's newer. My plasma's newer. You know, it hasn't lasted that long with the... But yeah, it burns in pretty strong.
Right. I didn't notice, but I did kind of look. Like, when we were watching hockey, I was like, do I see a banshee there in the corner?
Or does it burn into my retina?
It's so irritating.
It was. It's so goddamn irritating. And
the only thing that changes on it is that whenever there's a scene that involves backstory, it changes to Banshee Origins.
Yeah, the banshee sees her, but then another word pops up next to it.
Yeah, it's just...
Who came up with that idea? Don't go on Twitter while I'm watching a show. And
yeah,
you shouldn't
and I
want me to while I'm watching
Cinemax
your show.
And the guy that runs it, that Greg Yatanas.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, can you guys calm down with the bright yellow Banshee hashtag, please? I wrote plasma burning is a bitch.
Yeah, yeah. I'll look at Twitter when the show's over. You shouldn't want me to not be paying attention to the show you created.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at friggin' Twitter, okay?
There's a time and place for hashtags. At least the networks have the decency to make the hashtag thing barely noticeable.
Yeah, it'll be there, but it's kind of... Remember Fringe would always have the episode name or whatever?
Yeah.
But it was kind of faded. It didn't bother me too much.
It's transparent.
Yeah. Like, even right now on Food Network or whatever, it always says an all-new so-and-so is coming on this Sunday, you know, and it never leaves the screen until commercials. At least there's commercial breaks that take it off, but that shit is so annoying. And especially on a paid channel, you usually don't have to... Like, HBO doesn't have the HBO symbol down there, you know?
I would kick HBO's ass. It's hypothetical ass if it did that.
Yeah, there's certain showtimes... shows where I see that.
But it's almost funny you expect that sort of thing from Cinemax, because Cinemax really is kind of the trashy hobo cousin
of HBO.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It kind of lives up to it, too.
It's a whole social networking thing where, like, you got to be out there on Twitter and get the fans excited.
24/7.
You shouldn't be annoying the shit out of them.
I'm irritated by social media at this point.
Yeah, totally. If I'm going to tweet about a show, I know I am going to assume the hashtag would be Banshee, the show that I've just watched.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't need to be told what I'm watching or what to hashtag tweet.
Yeah, like when I watch Justified, there's no hashtag Justified.
And the last thing I'm going to do is hop on and, like, use the hashtag Justified. Honestly. I'll create my own, like, Love Dewey. I don't know.
Hashtag Love Dewey. Something like that. Oh, you know what my favorite thing is now? Is Cake Boss does live tweeting during the shows.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's hilarious. The tweets, I'm like, who are these effing losers? You're like, hey, buddy, cake looks really great. You sure are fantastic. Hashtag loser.
We really need to get in on that. Is it automatic or do they choose them?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm sure they choose them.
Oh, man. But, like, next time it airs live, I am all over that shit. I'm going to start doing, like, refrigerated box truck tweets.
Like a bakery boss. You know, there's always somebody who's like, I think our food's good, buddy. I'll match my custard to yours any day. And he goes, well, why don't we have a little bake-off here? And right down in the corner, someone tweets, oh, this guy should know better not to mess with Buddy. Hashtag loser, you know.
Hashtag custard battle.
Custard battle. But it's so lame, man.
Battle of the custard.
Cool,
it's just becoming oversaturated.
Mm-hmm.
They're beating it into the ground.
And you know how I've been talking about I've been kind of in a lull or whatever? Like, I like watching bad television, but I couldn't do it today. I had to turn it off. There's this new sci-fi show called Opposite World, Steven.
I've recorded it. I didn't watch it.
Dude,
yet.
I totally lost interest. I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't do it.
I lasted 5 minutes. Literally 5 minutes. Like, introductions, title.
Yet,
and I was like, I can't watch this.
I got
this
the
is
whole...
the... It's so phony.
Yeah,
and
I... It's like Big Brother, but one side lives on the futuristic side, and the other side lives on a caveman side, and they compete to switch sides or whatever in these stuff, in these competitions.
It kind of reminded me of the was it the Time Machine with the Eloy and what was the other race?
Morlocks.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
Oh, that'd be cool if there were Morlocks on the compound too. That would be awesome.
Yeah. The people living in the past or, you know, dated should be Morlocks.
So basically the people who live in the future are douchebags. And
yes.
The people, like Emma told me, you know, Emma watched it because she likes Big Brother and stuff like that. I'm a bad parent. But I'll let her watch certain things like that. But I was interested because, you know, she'll see me watching it. What is this? And I'll tell her. She goes, ooh, that sounds neat. So she kept watching it. And she said, one of the guys broke his leg. And I'm like, what? So I watched. It's during the competition. The futuristic and the caveman have to run up to this raised platform. And whoever knocks the other one off first wins, right? Kind of like a Survivor type of thing. Well, you're supposed to wait till the other person's ready, and the futuristic dude catches the other guy off guard, knocks his ass off, the dude lands, they're like, oh, dude, look at his leg. His leg is friggin' just jacked. And the guy is, like, taken out of there. And I was just like...
Then they shoot him in the head?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Bill. Like, we all know these shows, like, what, Survivor, you win $1 million, right?
Yes.
Big Brother, $500,000. You know what you win on this show?
$10,000.
Not that bad, but $100,000.
Oh, man, I was hoping it was $10,000.
I was just like, that is the lamest prize, lowball prize. When he goes, you will win the grand prize of, and they show them all like... And he goes, $100,000. And they're like, whoa. I was waiting for him to go, oh.
We're out of here.
Feature in Home and Garden magazine.
Wait, after taxes, what do I get? Like, what, $60,000 maybe?
No, try more like 50.
$40,000?
Yeah, that's probably actually closer because you have to pay federal and state. And then you have to pay the luxury tax. So like $40,000.
Yeah, it's just like not worth it to live in a cave and shit in a
pot.
Yeah, like a hole.
Dig
in the ground.
A hole.
Yeah.
But also they have these attractive women that are in there with you, and they're like in their fur bikinis or whatever. It's like, Got to take a dump, guys. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've got to go.
I need your bikini top to wipe with.
It's like, where else do I got to go, man? I'm going to smell up this whole friggin' hut. I hope you guys know that, right?
Why don't they have a separate shit hut?
No. I apologize. I got to go. It's just like, oh, man, this is the worst. But, man, it's all worth it for that $100,000.
Yeah. I would embarrass myself on cable television.
Yeah.
Don't worry,
I wouldn't do that.
See it.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Thanks, Kip.
Okay, now, Bill, I want to talk about King of the Nerds. Did you watch it yet, Steven?
Yeah, I just watched it today.
Would you guys say painful?
I would say excruciating.
You know what? I'm going to blame the show also because it probably tells them in their little interviews, like, reference everything you can.
Oh,
so
yeah, absolutely.
We're just all bombarded with all their knowledge because it comes off like, I want to show you everything I know, which it comes off really obnoxious where everybody, by the way, here's the problem I had with the show last season is they make it out like the big deal challenge at the end. Were any of those questions that difficult? Seriously.
No, it was super simple.
They have shit about Harry Potter that anyone has seen the movies would know. I mean, my God. But they act like they have to have all this knowledge, but they really didn't need any knowledge. General knowledge, that's all they needed. And
I think the hardest question without an A, B, C, or D.
Yeah, and it's multiple choice.
Yeah.
And what were you saying, Bill?
I was just saying that I think the hardest competition was the comic book questions. I think it was like one of the first competitions that Genevieve won on the first season.
Right.
That was the only one where I was like, this is some seriously, like, just minutia that I have no idea.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm still annoyed at last season how it ended. Like, the way they pick the King of the Nerds.
That was horseshit.
And I even read that.
We watched it together.
Yeah, we did. When you visited, we watched it and we were like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah, we're both sitting there going, this is horseshit. She's not the king.
And I read on Topless Robot, which is a great website, Bill. Yes. They interview one of the nerds. I think it's the most annoying nerd, that guy with the...
Is it the World of Warcraft guy?
I think so. He's like the main guy. He's the captain of one of the teams.
He's
like an evil imp is what he looks like.
Yes.
And I'm not even sure they interview him. I don't know I'm saying that, but I assumed it was him. But they talk about how a lot of people were pissed off at the finale last year and they've changed it. So I'm interested to see how that is.
Oh, they changed the way they picked the
King of the Nerds. Okay. Basically, they make it all about what your knowledge is of nerddom, but then it came down to a popularity contest, and that was total horseshit.
Well, I do have to say one thing. I think the first season, they went out of their way to find very attractive nerds that weren't really nerds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you had the video gamer and that one girl that...
has a YouTube channel.
Yeah, she suffers from girl on the internet syndrome. Mm-hmm. Just attention whore. And this season, I don't think they... I mean, I can't say there's any hot nerds.
The one cute-ish chick they kicked off.
But she may have been cute, but she was really awkward.
She
was very like, strange.
Yeah.
Like, and I want to know what state she was the only thing to look at. Yeah. One person said she's like a Luna Lovegood. I was like, yeah, that is who she reminds me of. Just a really awkward, kind of cute girl. But she knew like all these languages. She was a nerd about languages.
She was a linguist.
I'm going to have to ask my friend that knows Japanese how well that girl's accent was. Because I thought it sounded a little stilted. Like,
her English sounded stilted.
Her English was weird, dude.
You are right. They scraped the bottom of the socially awkward barrel for this one. Like, these people make me uncomfortable. These are the sort of people that you felt bad for in high school that you tried to be friends with, but you just couldn't.
I didn't try to be friends with him.
See, I would. I would sympathize because we had similar interests, but then they take it one step too far, and it's just...
I want to know how much is them showing off their knowledge and how much is the show encouraging them to show everything they know. Like, the Asian dude who knows about, like, numbers and stuff, that's fine. You know, that's who he is. He's not attempting to tell everyone how much he knows about Batman or whatever. But, it's...
And the one chick who was hiding, she was a chemist.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, why? Why bother?
Who cares that you're a chemist?
Yeah, they're going to do friggin' cosplay competitions. Don't worry about being a chemist.
Yeah, do you honestly think that they're going to, like, bring the periodical table out and make you mix things or make blue methamphetamine?
I don't, well, the one commercial or one little bit of it where the little table they're on is, it's like the little puzzle of the periodic table that slides around.
Okay.
I was like, I'm wondering, is
she
going
to? She's going to be good one
put it in
for
right
one
order.
Task.
That's usually what they all are. That I think that's about the show that drives me nuts is when they're all like, okay, he's really good at this, so he'll be good at this competition. The same way last season, I would not. You shouldn't fear any of the challenges. If you really think you're the king of the nerd, just say, send me, I'll do it.
Shit,
like I'm
that's
a badass.
Right. Last season, that, like, final challenge was stacking shit.
Yeah, come on. And they were all, like, worried about, well, he knows all about science. She knows all about video games. And it's like, none of that matters. You're stacking shit, you know?
Yeah.
And the other one was riding through a maze on a tricycle. Or, no, the Segways. Remember that?
Yes, yep.
Wow.
And quite frankly, this thing, like the Harry Potter thing, but they couldn't use Harry Potter because, well, it's owned, copyrighted. So... Nerditch, they called it, and they had to throw a ball into a cauldron.
And the ball
a physical activity.
Which, by the way, there are questions no matter what. The guy got no questions right, but he was good at throwing a ball into a hole.
Right.
Yes. It just means he has better motor skills.
Yeah.
Right.
She was incredibly awkward, kind of like, and but she was really good at the knowledge part, but none of that mattered, you know?
I hate this show. Honestly, I really do. Like, I tolerated the first season, but this season, I just can't stand any of these people. And and the they've gone full nerd on which Carradine is it? Keith
Or Bobby?
Robert Carradine.
Yeah, Robert Carradine. They've gone full, like, they're not even being subtle about it now. Where he's doing the Lewis laugh.
Yeah.
Every chance he gets.
In his defense, he did it in the first episode last season, and I don't think he ever did it again. So I'm going to wait and see if he does it again.
All right.
Because he
just heard it multiple times.
He
this
did it
episode.
When they first
he did
got
it
there.
Twice.
It was funny when at the end, whenever they do something to destroy the contestant, you know.
I did like this one, the destroy was,
it was like
the
a dinosaur
Godzilla foot.
Yeah.
That
was the part that I laughed finally at that. But mostly I'm just kind of sitting there like, oh, my God. Just got to make it through this commercial break.
Yeah, I just really – I want to hit the World of Warcraft guy with one of the swords that he takes off.
Oh, my favorite is like, I'm a Pokemon master. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
And?
Yes. Because, that kind of blew my mind. Like, that guy has caught them all.
He's a Pokemon master.
He's a Pokemon master. And he's proud of it.
Not even Yu-Gi-Oh, dude. Pokemon is so, like, 90s.
He doesn't have, like, the arm thing that holds cards that he can throw out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cool,
he probably does.
All right,
that's
Bill.
Prize possession. He stays at home.
I don't really have any more shows to talk about, except for We Love Almost Human, and they're showing it out of order.
Yeah, are they showing the final episode this week, or was the final episode the last one?
No, they haven't. They didn't show one this week, and I'm not sure how many episodes.
Let's say the second to last episode they show, which was 8, I think it was actually the second shot, and it's just there's just there's no flow.
How many episodes did they make for season 1?
I thought it was only like 10 episodes.
Is it?
I have to look. How many episodes did they shoot?
Because they're probably about to air 10. Is that the 10th episode, by the way? Or did it get a back order? Or
no, it did not get a back order.
Oh, shit. That's not
good. Yeah, it's done. It's done.
It probably is done. That sucks. I really like the show and the whole setup.
I fully accepted that it's done.
There needs to be an overall story arc going on. I want storytelling like Fringe, man, where they had a storyline.
They did not air, shoot 10 episodes. They shot 9.
Oh, shit.
The next episode is the last episode.
Well, goddamn. Well, we'll see what happens with that. I mean, I like the show. It has potential. It has potential. It could be better.
It could be better, yeah. It needs to have that chance to be better.
Right.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
We could have said the same thing about Fringe when it started.
Yeah, when Fringe, it was Freak of the Week, and then finally they got in with the Observer and stuff. Yeah, that's when I was waiting for this show, but the show didn't have a chance to do that when they show it out of order.
No.
This is the first time in this last episode that they mentioned the girlfriend again from the pilot episode. It's because it was originally the second episode.
Yeah, it was abandoned.
Jackholes. Oh my god, I want to talk about the thing that annoys the shit out of me on King of the Nerds. Remember on Fangasm that we watched? Yeah, Someone's always like, so what do you guys think, Marvel or DC? Someone's automatically like, Star Wars or Star Trek?
Yeah.
It's like, what? Wait, can I just stop for a second? Why can't I like either one? Can I like them both?
Exactly. Why can't we like both? I mean, granted, Star Trek is more cerebral. But,
not the movies, though. Not the J.J. Abrams.
No.
It's just an
action film.
Baby, why are you trying to go behind the desk? Did a field mouse get in the house or something?
They asked about the J.J. Abrams Star Trek
And she's
reboot.
Like, well, you know, you get someone who's in ways like Star Wars directing. It's like, shut up. I don't even want to hear this conversation.
Guess what? It was. Well, you know, that's being fed to them to bring that up because no one's going to do that naturally.
Hey, talk about something people know about, like J.J. Abrams doing Star Trek. All right. Hey, guys, what about J.J. Abrams doing Star Trek? Blah, blah, blah.
But somebody who likes Star Wars directing it. Like,
what about the new RoboCop? No, piss on that!
Yeah, see, I think everyone will agree to that.
I know, baby, I've never seen her do this before. She's trying to get behind the desk.
She's rooting for something.
I got some wires back here. No!
Is there a mouse? Field mouse?
Ah! Bill, you ready to do some news?
Let's do some news.
All right, let's do the news.
Is a mouse.
Oh my god. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
I don't know why this is news. Mainly, I guess, because people always like seeing someone humiliated. In Stockholm, Sweden, Bill Gates played a game of chess to a world champ, this Magnus Carlsen. And he was defeated in 1 minute and 20 seconds. Now, I don't understand why people would do that to him.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
I mean, just because he is a billionaire, created software, blah, 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 doesn't necessarily mean he knows how to play chess.
Yeah.
Right.
And the headline is... it looks like Microsoft founder has finally met his match.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous. And you know it's going to be all over the news, or you know, the next day or two. It's going to be that human interest horseshit story that they always tack on to the end of the newscast.
Yeah. Lame.
Yes.
And he's got it.
I just have to bring this up because it's the continuing saga of the 30-year-old teacher going crazy and having sex with a 17-year-old student.
Oh, dear.
Yes, the Lower Moreland High School.
It's loosely based on a true story, but it's also based on a movie.
Yes, a mathematics teacher was charged Friday with sexual assault and other crimes after she had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old. Can they just, you know, can we just stop it already? I promise, this is the last one of these stories I'm going to do, but use your effing heads.
To blow Nessie out of the water.
Just stop it. Because nothing, you're never going to get away with it. You know, for every one that actually gets away with it, you're going to have 10 that don't.
Yeah, okay, when you have sex with a male's teen student, he's going to tell everybody.
Yes, he's going to tell everyone, exactly.
I'm just saying, no, I don't give a shit. I'm going to rash ass what the hell you think.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I got some of that.
All I got was the rat's ass. What the hell you think?
Please, tell me something I don't know.
It's the 30th birthday of the Macintosh.
Oh.
You remember the cool little... They had those in one of my schools. Like,
and
we're
going to make millions.
And I think a couple years ago, at least, the hip thing to do was actually turn it into a fish tank. The original Macintosh.
Wow, I'd like to see that.
That's how far we've come with the Macintosh.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That's true, Kip.
All right, in the UK, I have no idea how to pronounce this brewery, but I think it's Thwaites Brewery Sign.
How do you spell it?
Thwaites.
Sounds good to me.
somebody got the genius idea to vandalize the sign and knock out the H, the I, and the E. So now, in big glowing letters on the side of the building, it says Twats.
Oh, dear.
Yes, oh, dear. So if you're living in the area, the Lancashire area, you now have a building that's glowing Twats.
I didn't make it up.
No, I didn't either. So yes, we now have that brewery. Moving on in geek news.
Oh, mine.
For only $128 a ticket, you will be able to take a train from Hogsmeade to Diagon Alley. Yes, Harry Potter. Harry Potter. The latest installment of The Wizarding World of Harry Potter is scheduled to open this summer at
Muggles
Orlando's
and wizards.
Universal Studios.
Muggles and wizards. Muggles and wizards.
Universal Studios theme park. New attraction is going to feature London and the magic pack Diagon Alley. So it's really $128 to get into that place?
It's pretty cool, I guess.
That's ridiculous.
It's,
I don't care how much
money.
You love Harry Potter.
It's a profit deal. Come on, don't be so naive.
So admission into Universal Studios Florida is $92 for adults, $86 for ages 3 to 9.
Wow.
But if you want to go to the Hogsmeade via the Hogwarts Express, you have to purchase a park-to-park admission, which is $128 for adults, $122 for kids. Are you kidding me? How can anybody afford to go there?
I don't know.
There's so much
money
I could do with $128. I could buy things that I could use every day instead of paying for a stupid experience. That's shocking to me. All right, moving on. Wheaties, the breakfast of champions.
Delicious.
Yes, highest of all cereals in fiber. Vitamins. And so much metal that each flake can be lifted with magnets.
What? Metal?
Yes. From the Natural News, a Wheaties breakfast cereal manufactured by General Mills has been found to contain so many microscopic fragments of metal that individual flakes can be lifted and carried using common magnets.
That represents metal, Bill.
Yeah, the... it's metal. It's very metal. The metal bits are added to Wheaties cereal to enhance the nutritional profile and claim a higher iron content on the label. Yeah, so adding shards of metal to a cereal is not nutritionally equivalent to nutritive minerals formed during the growth of grain-producing plants. Bioavailability is vastly different. That is crazy.
Stunning!
And it's on the internet, so it must be true.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I'm gonna buy a box of Wheaties just to try it tomorrow. The cheapest box I can find. All right, so
No! You tell me.
Stillwater, in Minnesota, have asked that a festival name be changed because of a vulgar reference. After word got out that the new summer festival in downtown Stillwater would be called the Stillwater Log Jam, a resident contacted Mayor Ken Hariyuki. Now city officials are asking the locals, the group planning the music and family festival, to consider another name. The city has concerns over what the name that was chosen means. We're made of aware... How can I put this delicately, that the name was a vulgar reference that we would prefer not to have associated with a family event in the city? We don't want to be the laughingstock of the nation.
Okay, they're being a little silly about that. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, there was a ride. In fact, I think it's still there at Kennywood in West Mifflin, Pennsylvania, called the Log Jammer.
We had the
log ride here.
The log ride, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really,
really weak argument.
If you understand.
Yeah.
If you understand.
I mean, I had to look up just to make sure it was what I thought it was. And it just doesn't seem that it seems something. It's made up, obviously. It says,
and
when
we're
going to
make millions
when you defecate and a chunk of fecal matter is pinched off, left behind, and you are unable.
Do you need to tell us? What was it?
To blow Nessie out of the water.
So basically, it's not having a full movement. I mean, that's
pretty cool, I guess.
Yes. How is that cool?
Yes, it's a pretty cool name, I guess.
It's like, that's not cool.
Oh, it leads to mud butt, and it's not that big of a deal. I don't see what. Yeah, I think
they're reaching. They're reaching, yes. For.
I'm just saying, no, I don't give a shit. I'm going to rass ass what the hell you think.
Honestly, I think they're doing this to drum up attention. Because that's, no one's going to go, oh, logjam. I mean, honestly, as you go further in the article, it says they're trying to change it to Lumberjack Days. And that could be just as bad.
All it makes me think of is Jackie Treehorn Presents Log Jammin' from...
No, absolutely. Yeah.
In the Big Lebowski, you guys know. Steven, you remember what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
The porn movie is called Log Jammin'.
Yes.
That's what it made me think of.
Yeah, that's why I looked it up. That's what I thought it was. But I log jamming is
really.
There's a difference between a log jam and log jamming. if you look them up on Urban Dictionary. One is a sexual reference, and one is a fecal matter.
Oh, Jesus, what's that smell,
literally,
man?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, thank you, George.
Look at all the men walking around, right?
Okay, I'm just trying to decide whether I should cover another story or move on.
Move on.
Move on.
No,
all right.
You can cover another story.
No,
I meant move
I'm
on from your log jam story.
Yeah, can we do another log jam? No, let's move on, because there's really nothing that's really getting me excited here. You know, that log jam, and you really just can't top that.
Don't you want to talk about that J.J. Abrams says their Star Wars script is finished?
Oh, God. Oh, my. I can't believe it. At some point, they would have to finish the script. Yes, that is correct.
I thought it was when I saw you posted on Facebook that Jesse Plemons had auditioned, and I was like, oh, Bill, don't fall for that.
I was doing it as a joke.
And then, you know, he said, no, there's nothing to it. But then J.J. Abrams admitted that, yeah, I have met with them. So what does that mean?
Oh, my God.
But I think what J.J. Abrams was saying was, I've met a lot of people for this. It doesn't mean they're being...
It doesn't mean he's it.
Yeah.
He's met a lot of people in his life, in fact.
I met him once. Oh, you have?
I think the greatest rumor this week was the Wii U for Nintendo is such a massive failure that they're already working on the next console. That's
dude,
the big. That's the big
it.
Rumor.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, they're calling it. They've already got a name, the Nintendo Fusion, and they're blending console with the portable DS. And it's just it reeks of stupidity and rumor, but it's honestly what needs to happen. Nintendo has failed so entirely with the Wii U that
it
it's
was
just
the first
pathetic.
One. The first one was the Wii, then it was the Wii U. And
yes,
then
the Wii had such a problem with shovelware. You know, they would let anybody make a game. And it was just, there's so much crap for the Wii. It's just drowning in garbage games.
It
and
was,
they're not,
it was
they're
for
not
kids.
Allowing that on the Wii U.
Wasn't it that? It was for kids, basically?
Yeah, I really, kids and old people.
Yeah, if I mean, you had a Wii, you weren't going to be playing Grand Theft Auto or something like that. You know, you were just kind of screwed.
I think they had a handful of games that were kind of crazy, like Mad World and No More Heroes, stuff like that, that was very adult. But honestly, how many people actually played them? But yeah, that's the big thing. You know, no less than, I think, what, a year and a half, they're already supposedly working on a new console. Mm-hmm. I think they're reported, they had a reported like $300 million loss this year.
Holy shit.
Yeah, they're just, they are in the shitter. And the Wii U is just, it's not a good system.
I mean, you own the Wii U. Is there anything that you've gotten for it that you're like, okay, this makes it worth it. This is pretty awesome.
No. Honestly.
Oh, shit.
I've That's played okay. more. Yeah, I've played more good stuff for the 3DS than I have the Wii U. I mean, I barely ever turn my Wii U on.
The 3DS has got good stuff going for it.
Yeah, the 3DS has some really excellent games.
Why can't they do that for the Wii U?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't explain it to you. You know what I use my Wii U for?
And no. You tell me. You tell me.
I will tell you. I keep the gamepad, which is also a screen.
Oh, yeah,
Like a 7-inch screen or so on there. No, it's probably closer to 5. Whatever. I keep it next to my bed, and at night, if I don't want, I use it to watch YouTube or Hulu Plus and stuff
like
that.
It's like a tablet, basically.
Yeah, it's a tablet. And some of the games you can actually just play on the screen.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
So yeah, I use it for that. Like I'll play some of the games just while laying in bed, or I'll watch an episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000 on YouTube. That's nice. That's the most I've done with it.
You know what's funny is for Christmas, you know, I got the Xbox, but I got Heather a Surface tablet. You know, mm-hmm. the Microsoft Surface that has Windows 8 with the touchscreen or whatever. And we got Emma a laptop, this tiny little laptop. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, I guess. but it's got Windows 8 with the touchscreen, too. And, you know, I was looking at the tile thing on the Xbox, and I go, holy shit, we totally all bought Microsoft shit for
Christmas. There you go.
And we didn't really... But we didn't plan that. It just kind of happened.
I got another baby there.
Exactly.
I bought Windows 8.
The same. No, I don't give a shit. I'm going to rat's ass what the hell you think.
So, but... It's not like that was planned. It just kind of happened. And it makes my sister sick because she works at the Apple store.
Oh, yeah, she does. I forgot about that. Well, you know what? I think the Surface is a really intuitive little tablet. Like, it's...
At first, Heather was like, I don't know about this because she was used to Android, but...
Yeah.
She loves it now.
Yeah, I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. No, I was looking at a tablet. I ended up settling on like the new Nexus 7.
That's what Emma has. And it's cool.
Yeah. And you can even buy this cool, little dongle, that plugs into the mini USB port on the bottom of it. It's like a right angle dongle and plug a 64 gigabyte micro SD card into it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you can put even more movies and stuff like that, you know, expand it from 32 to, you know, add 64 more gigs to it.
Right.
So, I really like it, but I was seriously considering the Surface whenever they had them on sale over Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I've messed with them. It's very cool.
Yeah, like I've like played Netflix and Hulu on it. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool, I guess.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Yes. I think the last story is probably the most important of the week. After last week's episode of HBO's True Detective, the Google search for an individual name went through the roof. And that name is Alexandra Daddario.
Gee, I wonder why.
Yes, geez.
Like, was she the number one on Google?
Yes, it was literally in the number one Google search after the show aired.
Everyone was like, who is this woman?
Yes, we must know more.
Some of them are hot.
But I guess people that have seen the Texas Chainsaw 3D... were already aware of her, although not in the capacity that she was in True Detective. They were aware of her.
But it's also based on a movie.
She's a special young lady. yeah. Who I think will go down in history. That's pretty much what I said immediately following the episode.
If you understand, do you understand?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
No, you tell me.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are other people that haven't watched True Detective that are listening to the episode now that are actually searching that name. So I'm doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, I was sitting there, I was watching with Heather, and it's kind of like,
I have to watch this later.
This was a very good episode.
Woody Harrelson is the luckiest man alive.
Hashtag True Detective. Hashtag
Yabos.
I would never hashtag Yabos.
That's good to know.
If you understand. Do you understand?
No, I don't understand a word you're saying. Stop asking me.
Do you understand DVDs?
I think what he's saying is, do you understand? I don't understand a word. I don't understand a word that I'm saying.
he doesn't understand. So wow, he's asking.
You know what? You smell like a. Look at your ass.
All right, Bill, you ready to do some DVDs?
I am.
All right, let's do some DVDs. Woohoo! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs!
DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Oh, hell yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Kip. All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week?
All right, DVDs for what day is it next week? It's the 28th. How about them apples?
Yes, January just kind of flew by.
It really did. That's shocking.
Hello and goodbye.
Yep. So January 28th, 2014. There is the Ron Howard film, Rush, coming to Blu-ray and DVD.
My dad told me that it was pretty good.
You know, I wasn't a huge fan of it. Just kind of pedestrian. You know, but that's, you know, Ron Howard likes to play it safe. Nothing is really exciting, I have
to say. I like
to say.
Ron Howard. No. Don't sell Ron Howard short.
No. I like Mr. But no, wait. He didn't do Mr. Mom, did he? Did he do Mr. Mom? No. I'm thinking of Gung Ho.
He did Parenthood. Which is one of my favorites. I watch it whenever it's on.
But in the context of what
they're
the movie's about.
They're not stolen. They're put away.
God.
They're not. So what about the Backdraft?
It doesn't hold up, I'll give you that much. It does not hold up. I saw it recently and I was like, God, this is freaking dated. It's so reeks of 90s that it's kind of painful.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Kip loves the 90s.
Yeah, I'm just not a big Ron Howard guy.
Okay, come on. Willow?
You know what? I'll give him Willow.
Mad Mod again.
You idiot.
Hello, you idiot. You all great.
Yeah, and I saw that in the 4K restoration.
That's cool.
That was pretty wonderful.
No, read off his films. I mean, like Cocoon and all that shit. He's done some good flicks.
I guess.
I can't think of any, but he's done some.
Ronnie Howard.
Hey, good old Ron Howard.
So, director Ron Howard.
Because, you know, he's doing the Dark Tower, Bill, so you better get used to it.
I know.
Or Akiva Goldsman will end up doing it. I saw that Akiva Goldsman has made a movie with Colin Farrell. And I keep seeing commercials to it. Colin Farrell and Russell Crowe.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe he's a good director. He's certainly not the greatest screenwriter.
I will say again, I don't know why I have to always say this when Akiva Goldsman comes on, but he wrote some of the best Fringe episodes.
No, I agree. I agree. I totally agree. But still, he's the little...
Dude,
he's
if you're a hired screenwriter, dude, you take the paycheck.
You're right. He doesn't have to justify his writing to me.
Let's see. Beautiful Mind...
Okay.
Apollo 13. We're gonna
go back from the 80s. So I'm gonna skip over his first couple movies because they were TV movies.
Oh.
We've got Night Shift, 1982.
I love Night Shift.
Splash. I quite like Splash. Cocoon.
Good film. Probably don't watch it. Don't seek it out or anything.
Yeah, Gung Ho is one of my favorite 80s movies. I love Gung Ho.
I've seen it a few times. I don't really have. I'm not aware of it that much.
Yeah, it's good. Willow.
Of course, love Willow.
Parenthood.
Probably my favorite film of his.
Backdraft.
It's pretty weak. Good when I saw it.
Yeah, when you saw
it. I've seen
it
in years.
Now it's just very melodramatic.
Far and Away?
Far and Away.
I think Far and Away is a good movie.
I like Far and Away. Bring me some Enya. I like that. That when she puts that flag in the ground to claim their land, yeah, rock on.
Heck yeah.
The Paper.
Okay, I got to tell you something about The Paper. I love The Paper. I love that movie.
It is a good movie.
I watch it whenever it's on. I almost wish it was a TV series called The Paper.
That would be a great TV series.
But I love Michael Keaton in that flick. I love it.
That final scene where they're trying to stop the press.
Yeah.
That's just
Randy Quaid, he's great in it.
Yep. Yeah, poor Randy Quaid, man.
Yeah, I get sad whenever I think of it.
He went full nuts and then went to Canada or something. I don't know. But Randy Quaid, Robert Duvall, Michael Keaton. Come on, Michael Keaton was just so good. I think that's what makes me so disappointed about the RoboCop thing is seeing Michael Keaton and Gary Oldman playing a scene that just really does nothing.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah, it's, I don't like seeing bad actors used like that. Apollo 13, yes, good movie.
Good movie, but now that we've seen Gravity...
Yeah.
Ruined.
Yeah, it's ruined. And you know what? I do have to say the Apollo 13 DVD with the commentary track with Jim Lovell and his wife is one of the great commentary tracks.
Oh, cool. I've never seen that.
Because they just sit there and, you know, he goes, well, that's not real. That was dramatic license or, you know, it's like he like brings it to reality. But it's just so fun to hear the two interact and talk about what it was really like and that experience. That was a real get for them to have Jim Lovell and his wife do the commentary track. That's one of my favorites.
Pretty cool, I guess.
Ransom, the High and Low remake with Mel Gibson and Gary Sinise. It wasn't bad.
I honestly have seen that once in the theater, and I guess there was nothing really special about it.
No, it's not. It's not a special movie.
I just, I'll always remember Mel Gibson saying, "Give me back my son." But that's about it.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Oh man, I forgot about Ed TV.
Yeah. I remember it being funny, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, that I don't remember. Bad. I don't remember it.
That was
Woody
the one
Harrelson.
With,
wait, that's a Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey movie. Woody,
it is.
After that, they're like, "Let's do True Detective someday." it won't be funny at all. By the way,
that's where it was born.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Bill. Have you seen that? I have not.
Yes, yeah. I have. That was bad.
How is it?
Pretty bad.
Yeah. A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe.
That was pretty lame.
Didn't that win somebody an Oscar?
I think it did.
I don't know.
But it was one of those movies that I had such a hard time watching because the guy it's based on was such a rampant anti-Semitic weirdo.
You know, that's one of those films that I've never seen, A Beautiful Mind. I've never seen it. And things even reference it now. They make jokes about, oh, it's A Beautiful Mind or something. And I totally don't get it because I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, it's not a great movie.
The Missing.
Holy shit. I have that and I've never watched it.
I'm going to say that's good. What did you say? Steven, you lost it?
I missed it.
Oh, you missed it.
Oh, rim shot.
No, what you should have said is I have that, but I can't seem to find it.
It's missing.
That's if you want to see Ron Howard do a Western, watch The Missing and you go, Wait, let me picture Roland. No, don't do that.
No, don't. Yeah, don't do that. Cinderella Man, are we going to talk about that?
That's another film I've never seen.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't bother.
Who's the star of that?
That's another Russell Crowe. He's the boxer, Jim Braddock.
How can that not be good? Come on.
See, you know what the biggest problem with these Ron Howard, Akiva Goldsman biopics are? Is they're so shamelessly revisionist that it's disgusting. Like the true story behind Jim Braddock and Max Baer, the boxers, that like this big rivalry, and Max Baer's just a total asshole in the movie, is completely made up. They were like really good.
That
kind
of reminds
good.
Me of like the new, what is that? The Mary Poppins movie.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah. I have such a problem with he just needs to stop with the biopics, like The Beautiful Mind, Cinderella Man. Frost Nixon was actually pretty good. I thought I forgot that he even directed that.
Mm-hmm.
The Frank Langella, Michael Sheen movie, but it's basically just one long interview.
I never had any desire to watch The Da Vinci Code or Angel in
Yeah, England. I so don't care about that.
But let me ask you, what The Dilemma, that movie was a bomb and a half, wasn't it?
Holy shit. Kevin James and Vince Vaughn, I had no idea that was even made. I had no idea he directed it.
Wow. Anyone who thinks he's going to make The Dark Tower, just look at all the movies that are up in the air with him. There's a lot. Let me ask you this. Do you think The Dark Tower will ever be made into a film? I honestly don't.
If it's made, hopefully not by Ron Howard.
I mean, there's all these rumors about... But you're never going to get that, though, Bill. The person you want to make something is never going to happen.
You know what? I should just be happy that it's Ron Howard and not Len Wiseman or the guy that did...
But honestly, let me ask you this. Like, now... I mean, it could be all bullshit, but I've heard even him kind of vaguely talk about it. It's up in the air that it might be better as a series. If Ron Howard was producing it, you know, like one director doesn't do everything. Like even like House of Cards, David Fincher directed like two of them, but he can't direct all of them.
No.
You get a set of directors to come in and do it.
But hopefully you get a talented stable of directors. But that might be interesting later on, whenever it starts to switch points of view, like the going in different time periods, whenever he's pulling Jake and Odetta and you know, those people through the doors.
There'd have to be a lot of pre-planning on this shit. I wouldn't know.
Oh, God, yeah.
I honestly would not know how to tackle it.
And Eddie Dean, I don't know.
I'm just going to tell you this.
I think they should just leave it alone.
Yeah, there's no way we could be pleased. You know, we might be happy with one person's performance. We might be like this performance. No. The whole casting process and all that, it would drive us all nuts.
Yeah.
And you know what we'd be better off doing is not even talking about it until you can hit play and watch it. You know what I mean?
You're not right.
Not speculate anything because it'll drive us all insane. Because I honestly wouldn't know how to go about it at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have no idea. There's so many layers, and that would take so much planning to get it right.
The whole Blaine the Mono sequence, it would have to be like, wow, I didn't think of how to handle this part. Or, you know, it's really cool how they did it. Or it'd be like, that's not how I pictured it at all. You know, you're just kind of screwed.
Everyone's going to picture it differently.
It'll be like, you know, The Hobbit or something where we would be those people who are pissed about shit, you know?
you're absolutely right.
Or just because why did they do that? They combined two characters made of one guy. That drives me crazy. They do stuff like that, you know?
No, yeah, I'm thinking about it just right now. Yes, you are absolutely 100% correct.
I would have to be, my mantra would be, I love the book, this is different. I love the book, this is different. This is a different thing, don't worry about it. Or whatever.
Yeah. All right, Bill, what's the next DVD? That would take a lot of effort on my part. All right, moving on. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2. On cool, Blu-ray 3D, Blu-ray DVD, Ultraviolet.
I love the first one, never saw the second one.
Yeah, and the second one isn't even made by the guys that did the first one, right?
Yeah, because they're making the Lego movie.
Which looks genuinely funny.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly adult.
Yeah, I'm expecting it to be awesome, honestly. Those guys did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. They did 21 Jump Street. Now they're doing the Lego movie. I expect it to be awesome.
And the amount of licensing in it is... I mean, I'm seeing Batman and I'm seeing everything in that.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be cool.
It's going to be awesome.
Earlier we spoke of Cumberbatch twice.
Yes.
With Sherlock and then the Desolation of Smaug. And now, again, him as the dude from WikiLeaks. Julian
Assange.
Yes, Julian Assange. In the Fifth Estate.
Yeah, I had no interest in that, but again, my dad said it was good.
Is it? My dad all I know is that Julian Assange said it was shit. So hey, whatever.
You tell me.
You're going to tell me that Cumberbatch played him and he called it shit? That's insulting.
That is insulting.
This is pretty much the worst video ever made.
Oh, dear.
Next up, we have Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa.
Again, my dad said that he saw that and he loved it.
Really?
He said that he just found out something about his friend. He was in the hospital. His friend was ailing. He spent the day at the hospital. He decided to go to the movies, just kind of like decompress. And Bad Grandpa, I think I'll go see this movie. And he said that he never laughed so hard in his life.
Well, maybe it was just the right movie at the right time.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Because the only thing I know about it is, again, with pooping, apparently he craps all over a restaurant or something. So
My dad told me about a scene where the grandpa, Bad Grandpa, goes to strip for money, I guess, and his ball sack's hanging out the entire time. A prosthetic ball sack.
Right. That's really charming.
And my dad said it was hilarious.
Oh, this is pretty much the worst video ever made.
All right. The next, I think you might be able to classify this next one as that also.
Shriveled floppy penis.
John Turtletaub's Last Vegas.
Turtletaub. Wasn't that one of the Pokemon, Bill?
Yes, he was.
Turtletaub.
And I don't know if you guys remember Las Vegas, but that's the movie with Michael Douglas, Robert De Niro, Morgan Freeman, and Kevin Kline.
Especially in Blu-ray.
Yeah, I remember. I saw the. This was literally in the theater 2 weeks ago.
Kevin Kline is nowhere near the age of those other guys, is he?
I love Kevin Kline. Why is he not working as much?
And why is he in a John Turtletaub movie?
Where's the January Man? Come on.
Oh man, I love the January Man. What else was he really good in? Silverado.
Silverado, but come on, you gotta love him in A Fish Called Wanda, though. Don't call me stupid.
Yes. Yeah, he was really great. I like Dave.
Clive
Reitman movie.
Yeah, I even like him. Heather always watches this movie. He's on. It's called, French Kiss with Meg Ryan.
Yes, with Meg Ryan. He's great in that.
Yeah, every time it's on, it's like, well, I guess we're gonna watch this. But he's great in it. He's a charming bastard, man.
Yeah, and he was really good in Wild Wild West. Wait, never mind. I'm sorry.
But you know what? Silverado, anytime that's on, I will watch it. I love it. And I always say, if you made Silverado in the Star Wars universe, perfect Star Wars movie. Lawrence Kasdan's writing the new Star Wars with J.J. Abrams. It's going to rock, dude.
I can't tell you. When I hear that Lawrence Kasdan and J.J. Abrams want to give like the fitting send-off to the main three characters, I get excited. I can't help it.
Yes. The only thing I want him to do, honestly, if I'm basing it on the last Star Trek, which I enjoyed, was the pace needs to slow down from time to time.
Well, no, did you, everything about it is he's doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, he's slowing it down. He's using film. He's, like, not doing any of his fancy tricks. He wants to make it look like mm-hmm. the original trilogy.
He even said he's going to chill a little on the
the lens flare.
Lens flare. What I love, he goes, yeah, maybe I should chill out on that. Oh, J.J. Abrams apologizes for lens flare. He did not apologize. Shut the hell up.
And the thing, I didn't think that the lens flare was that big of a deal because it was like this fantastical thing he was trying to do.
I don't mind lens flare at all. I honestly don't.
Yeah. Well, and it's you know just what? People, they pick something to hate on and then they stick to it.
Jar Jar Abrams. Remember that, Bill?
I don't, thank God. I don't.
I'm like, I don't want Jar Jar Abrams doing the new Star Wars.
I'm just saying, no, I don't give a shit. I'm going to rass ass what the hell you think.
Exactly.
That's intense.
I want to see a Star Wars guy like that arguing with Dennis Rodman.
I don't know what the hell you talking about. I don't see no goddamn Star Wars. I'm just burning the jaw.
Goddamn tauntaun.
Tauntaun.
Yes. Don't let me talk about Cloud City and all that shit. I'm freaking out. It's carbonite.
Toss the chobasa.
He's a Saguni Dopas Lamo.
Yes.
Hey, Wana Wonka!
Hey, Wana Wonka!
Hey, Wana Wonka!
Mitasa Chopasa.
Exactly.
I am trying to find that video on YouTube for the longest time, and I can't find it.
I could probably find it for you.
Okay.
Because I linked it. I linked it on the website a long time ago. I'd have to find the episode where we talk about it.
Oh, my God. I would never make you do that. No, but
I can do it.
But, yeah, that's one of those things I've been trying to find forever.
Okay. What the hell? What's wrong with me, Steven?
And that's Blu-rays for this week, but we might as well talk about what came out this past Tuesday.
Yes, because a really good movie came out, Bill, right? I'm talking about.
Is it a remaster?
Remastered in 4K?
Yes, yeah. But we'll get to that. That's in R.
Okay.
All right, we're going to start off with at the beginning. So we have Blue Jasmine, the excellent Woody Harrelson.
He's a great director.
Woody Allen film with Cate Blanchett. This is a really good movie. I picked it up this week. Because yeah,
Let me ask you about this, because my dad brought this up again.
Okay.
I said, hey, have you seen Blue Jasmine? He said, no, I've decided I will never watch another Woody Allen film because he rapes children.
Oh, it's not like he's freaking Roman Polanski.
And I said, will you watch a Roman Polanski film? And he said, sure. So I'm like,
you know what?
I'm confused.
I think your dad's ass backwards.
I think he's just messing with me. But I got to ask you this. Does any of that stuff bother you?
What?
Enough where you won't see the film. That Woody has some questionable things that he did.
Oh, with Sun Yi?
Yeah, or even...
No, because you know what? She was an adult whenever they entered into
the relationship. But what about his son or whatever? Didn't he say he... I don't know the story, but apparently... molested.
Okay. So she was underage whenever they first had intercourse or relations.
I honestly don't know enough about the story, so I shouldn't have brought it up.
You know what? No, I have to assume that, okay, yes, it's a shitty thing to do. Also, they are now married. Mm-hmm. So when you think about it, let's go back in time.
There must be referencing something else besides that.
Okay. All right. I don't know. No.
But will it keep you from watching one of his films is what I'm saying.
No. Just like Roman Polanski being a disgusting individual will not stop me from watching one of his films.
That's pretty cool, I guess.
I'm not going to, you know... not
watch
it. It's
an interesting thing, isn't it? Like,
It is.
It's, if someone has a problem with it and they don't want to watch it, I understand. I'll say that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to see
Blue Jasmine. I want to see this, but he raped somebody, so I don't know if I can watch this.
It's good. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
And, okay, Kate Blanchett is the way I would say her name, but everyone's like, Kate Blanchett.
Yes, I think the E is long, or, you know.
But it looks like Kate Blanchett.
Blanchett?
Blanchett.
Kate Blanchett.
I'll never forget in school some kid saying, he's talking about his favorite actresses to some girl, and they were sitting close to me, you know, and he was obviously, like, flirting with her, and he goes, I'm a big Michelle Pfeiffer fan. And I always remember that to this day. Why do I remember stupid shit like that? But I remember just wanting to go, it's Pfeiffer, jackass. But, of course, I sat there and said nothing.
Which John Cusack movie was that the mom serves Perrier and, like, calls it Perrier?
Is it Better Off Dead?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It's Better Off Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure it's how she pronounces Perrier very strangely.
Peru, I think, yeah. You made me think of Annie Wilkes. Dom Perignon.
Dom Perignon, yes.
Cock-a-doody.
It's time for a hobbling. Captain Phillips, Tom Hanks, and a Somali are in a sub together for 2 hours.
Captain Phillips, do you read me?
No.
Captain, hello?
No, I'm not here. I'm with a Somali man.
I'm with a really skinny dude right now.
We got buku skinnies in the perimeter.
Now, Bill, have you seen Captain Phillips?
No.
I like Captain Phillips.
But I bought it.
Oh, okay.
I did. I bought it because Best Buy has this really cool steelbook. I love steelbooks because the art is front and center.
Yeah, I got a steelbook for Christmas, Elysium, and I was
I already bought Elysium, but if I didn't, I would totally go to Target and buy that steelbook. I look at it every time.
I was like, oh, cool, steelbook. Like, I just wanted the movie. I didn't know I was going to get this.
Yeah, I love the steelbooks. All right. Then we have... I'm sorry about that. We have Machete Kills.
Who's he killing?
Everyone.
Yes, Steven nailed it.
That looked over the top ridiculous.
Yeah, it really did, to the point where I just didn't care. Will Robert Rodriguez go back to making actual films at some point?
I don't think so.
Okay, this is his thing now?
Well, I know, like, he put Mel Gibson in it.
Yes.
And made him the overtop bad guy. He put Sofia Vergara in it, gave her, like, a bullet bra.
Oh, that's classy.
Cinema Verite.
Misha Havanavishi.
So, he's doing, he's not trying anymore, come on.
Oh, he's just cash and paychecks.
He's doing a Sin City next.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I so don't care.
I mean, I liked Sin City and everything, but that's not actually... He's just copying everything Frank Miller did. He's not even writing anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, like, signature creative about it. It's just, you know, it's... Frank Miller laid out the storyboards, and it is what it is. All right, next Blu-ray we have the Criterion Collection of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Wow.
Yes.
Pretty mad.
And it is. It's four times as mad. I love this movie. I've always loved the movie. And what excites me about this is it's the Roadshow print, which is like 30 minutes longer. So it's a long movie that's even longer. And I don't think I've ever seen the Roadshow print of it. So I'm excited about picking this up whenever it's 50% off on Barnes & Noble or Amazon. Because I never, ever pay full price for a Criterion.
I just remember, I always remember this about the movie. I probably said it before, the quick Three Stooges cameo.
Yes, that and the giant W or whatever. Yeah.
The trees and giant
yep,
W.
The trees, yep.
And Rat Race is a really good movie too, Bill.
Shut up.
And no, you tell me. You tell me.
Okay, Rodman, I was kidding, okay?
All right, and
I'm a
finally,
big Seth Green fan.
We have reached R. And that means RoboCop.
Oh, yeah. Not one of those damn remakes, Bill.
Yes, this is the 4K remastered RoboCop in the unrated full edition with some... It's got some great features. It's got the commentary track. It's got all kinds of little featurettes. It's
your this, shit snow for a year.
This thing is packed.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
I guess.
Come on, Kip.
What does it take to impress that guy?
Cobra Assault Cannon, state-of-the-art, bang-bang.
There will not be a single line in the remake that's as cool as that. State-of-the-art, bang-bang.
You know what you find out in the commentary is that most of those lines, like those little additions, Kurtwood Smith did on his own.
Think about it, chum. Good business is where you find it.
Yeah, like the "Do you fly, Bobby?"
Can
like
you
that
fly,
was him,
Bobby.
That was him. The spitting on the desk at the police. You know, just give me my effing phone call.
Yeah, it's so gross too. It's a big glob of blood.
Yeah, him. He did that. That wasn't in the script.
He's a genius.
I mean, the guy just,
ooh,
he...
Guns.
Can we give retro active Oscars? Because that guy deserves it.
I know. Wouldn't that be great?
We need to give
best supporting actor RoboCop. For Clarence Boddicker in RoboCop, yes. Kurtwood Smith. It'd be like, yes!
Yeah, I mean, the guy...
Sorry.
The movie's just so great.
Mm-hmm.
And then whenever you get into, like, the backstory of it and how they wanted him to have those certain type of glasses because they were the same glasses that Heinrich Himmler had and all that. Just like all these little touches.
Yeah, when I think it's funny that, you know, we always talk about those film of art classes. I always talk about the Christ subtext. But then Paul Verhoeven starts talking about, like, he thought of RoboCop as a Christ figure. And I was like, holy shit, you mean, like, this is actually true?
Yeah, know, the walking on water and all that. Yeah. Yeah.
I like it!
God, I love that movie.
So do I.
And I was so. And it's $8.
A NIMH movie mini. And how much is that Blu-ray?
It's $8.
Oh my god.
$7.99 at Best Buy. Picked it up today.
I am going to purchase the hell out of that shit.
And it's on an end cap. It's like on one of those end caps where with all the discounted discs. Because I had to ask. I went to the spot where they put the new releases on like those center island things.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked the guy, I was like, where's the new RoboCop release? And he's like, well, the only one we have is this one. And I was like, that's it. That's the one I want.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Aiden Horrible, he goes, oh, that's not out in theaters yet. It'll be in a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, yeah. Go F yourself. That's not
you
what I'm
are
talking
an
about.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Come on. Don't be so naive.
Oh. Yeah, but that's that was last week, or you know, Tuesday's releases. We had some pretty good releases, and there's
awesome.
Been a couple of them since then. But that's I guess that's DVDs. You know, I did watch the newest Hunger Games movie, that Catching Fire.
Mm-hmm.
That I guess it was directed by the guy that did Constantine?
It's the oh man, I know his name. Why are you
Francis,
doing this to me?
Francis Lawrence, right?
Yeah, the guy who did The Incredible Hulk.
Did he do The Incredible Hulk?
Yeah, the guy who did Transporter, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess it wasn't bad. If I actually sort of enjoyed it. It was well done.
I remember my dad telling me, he goes, now that's a good action movie. That was really good. Really good. But I won't see it if Woody Allen directs it. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, wow. And I guess the Blu-ray doesn't come out until March 7th. So
I didn't make it up.
I won't comment on how I got the Blu-ray copy of it. So right.
I would like to see that.
Okay, well, I will make that possible.
I'm going to rass ass what the hell you think.
Jesus, okay. Sorry.
So angry.
Sorry, Rodman.
Just go back to North Korea and hang around with your little stubby friend.
No, it's Kim. Yeah. Oh, yes, we're good friends. I don't understand what you say, but, yeah.
Oh, wait, you know what? Again, my friend Emma commented to me. She was talking to me while we were doing it, and she said that during the break that Kim Jong-un actually went to school for like 7 years in Switzerland, so he knows English.
And I'm wondering if he still has trouble.
He still has no idea what Dennis Rodman is saying.
I thought you were going to say during the break he killed Dennis Rodman.
He killed Dennis Rodman.
He put him in a... firing line and tied a blindfold around him. Yeah.
Is it possible that he speaks in that same language like Daytac Tar does?
Yeah. Taco!
Taco! That's possible.
No, it is. No, it's identical. I'm convinced.
My favorite thing Dennis Rodman does is when he offers everyone cookies.
They got right here. Boom. Out the ass. Cookies out the ass. You want some cookies? What do you want?
I don't want any cookies out of an ass.
That's like one of my favorite things to say ever since then. Boom, anytime cookies. Anybody asks for anything and I'm slightly boom, annoyed, I'll be like, there you go. Boom. Out the ass.
Boom. You want a chicken pot pie? Boom, chicken pot pie out the ass.
Yeah, like if I'm headed out for the day and I go past my dad's room and he goes, hey, can you give me coffee? And I'm just annoyed. I'll be like, yeah, I'll get you coffee. And then there's your coffee. Boom, coffee out the ass.
You want some coffee? Boom.
Yeah, I it's one of my favorite things ever, so... Thank you, Dennis Rodman.
The guy is
he's a genius. This
wow,
is what he is.
You know what? You smell like a look at your ass.
He's like insulting you, but you're like, what is he saying? He's insulting me, I think.
No. You tell me.
I like in that video, if you ever watch it, like on YouTube, Bill, the guys are like holding him down. Like he's going to get up and attack the monitor because the guy's in the United States who's interviewing him.
Yeah, what is he going to do?
Attack the camera? I'm going to
kick that camera's ass. Yeah. How dare that camera question my motives?
Dennis, that's a red camera. That shit's expensive.
It's a red camera because it's communist?
Yes, it's a communist camera. All right, Bill, any more DVDs?
No, that's really it. I think 2 weeks is enough.
All right, Bill, thank you for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, thank you. Good night. You're all week. Try the veal.
Everyone, that was episode 287 of Entertainment Landfill. If you'd like, go to etlandfill.com. You can find a link to all of our old shows there. You can find all of our shows there. I mean, just all of them, 1 through 287. If you go do
boom,
some hunting.
Shows out the ass.
You want some shows? You want some shows? Boom, there's a show. Boom, out the ass. All right? If you'd like to send us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com or send us a voicemail at 1206-426-2257. Follow
Bill and Steven and I on Twitter. Or join our...
Follow Steven on Twitter? What are you talking about?
Join our Facebook fan club. That's really the most action you're going to get, right, Bill?
Yes, we promise action on there.
I tweeted last week, I think.
Did you? Yeah. Did you really?
Some of them are hot.
Yeah.
Did you tweet your location?
I don't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go to our Facebook page.
Look at all the men walking around, right?
Why does a guy... What? It's so messed up. He wants zombies to make a porno. It's gross. What are they thinking?
Yeah, if anybody didn't get the gist of that...
And you know what the worst part about the game is? Your character you're playing doesn't go, dude, screw you, that's gross. He goes and does it!
Well, yeah, he just does anything anybody asks.
He does!
That's the most disturbing thing about the character of Nick, is that he just is a gopher.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I guess I gotta
go
do this.
Risk my life for this creep.
Let me get these different cultural
zombies for zombie sex. How is that even possible?
Yeah, how do they even cooperate is what I want to know. But they all get up on the bed when you do it.
Oh, well. Maybe there's, you know, a certain bit of humanity left in them.
And you know what's even grosser is there's toys and stuff on the bed.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, and isn't there a gun? A gun that shoots men.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Certain types of projectiles?
Yes, and it's supposed to be funny, but it's not. I, like, constructed it. I got the blueprint to make that, and I made it, and I'm like, what the hell is this? What's funnier, though, is make that and then give it to one of the companions that you have for the weapon.
Genius.
Now that's funny.
I liked how they like the objects that it shoots just sort of stick in the head. That's like sticking out.
It makes like a sploosh sound.
Sploosh.
You know the guys who made this game? They're sick.
They are really sick. Yeah.
I don't let me do this.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see. Voicemail, email, told you where to get the old shows. That's pretty much it.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm kind of hoarse because I'm not used to talking.
I'm really
for 3 hours.
And I'm starting to neigh.
I hope that everyone enjoyed the show. I had a great time talking to you, Bill, and you, Steven.
Thank you, sir.
It's great seeing you guys again. And, Steven, I've got to show you that zombie game. I just got to show him what this is like, Bill. And, Bill, we can play co-op. We need to do that.
Yes, we do need to do that. We're going to try to do that this
week.
There's
a lightsaber somewhere in the game that you can construct, and I want to do that.
Find it. We will find the crystal, and we'll go through the whole...
I spent enough points where my... When you make weapons, they don't break so quickly.
Yeah, I did that first. Do you have to find, like, a room to meditate, and then you put the lightsaber together with the...
I think you just get a flashlight and get some gems, and you make it instantly.
Do you have to find, like, special, like, kyber crystals?
Nothing like that. Oh, God. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Have a good one, yo. I got nothing. No, seriously.
Bye.
Bye, Steven. Bye, Bill. Later,
bye-bye.
Guys.
And he's got it.
Last week, Japanese scientists explained...
No, you tell me!
...placed explosive detonators at the bottom of Lake Loch Ness to blow Nessie out of the water.
I'm just saying! No, I don't give a... rat's ass what the hell you think.
It's pretty cool, I guess.
Come on, don't be so naive.
It's loosely based on a true story, but it's also based on a movie.